gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 58 for New Comic Book Day, May 31st, 2017. I looked at the numbers and it threw me off because I don't see it in the numbers. Yeah. But I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, guys. Thanks for everyone tuning in.
Hey, Vern, seems like we just did this.
It does. I mean, you know, it was about a couple days.
Yeah. Since we were so late last week and we're getting a little bit of an early start this week, there's not a whole lot of news that came out between the shows, but all of the CW shows finished, so we have a lot of stuff to cover on
those. We're just going to be geeking out all the good stuff that happened.
Oh, yeah. The finales were phenomenal. I thought they were awesome. We're probably not going to hit much Gotham this week, but that's because Gotham is ramping up towards their finale in a couple of weeks. So the next couple of weeks, since there's no other DC shows, we're going to be covering Gotham a lot, probably.
Yeah.
We do have a little bit of news, though. Wonder Woman had the red carpet premiere.
And it seemed like everything went well. Everybody had some fun there.
Oh, yeah.
The fans that went, everyone. Gal Gadot looked great. And we had a lot of callbacks to a lot of the other people that portrayed Wonder Woman had to do with the movie. So we'll cover everybody there
later. We got a brand new trailer for Batman and Harley Quinn, the new animated movie. This looks like it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, this they're going to use their PG-13 rating, though.
Yeah, they're definitely going to earn it this time.
And then next after that, we got the red carpet. Well, we said the red carpet premiere, but also we have some bad news about the Justice League Dark film. That, it's got some bumps, but I think it'll get over before it comes out.
Well, we have plenty of time till that actually comes out. So, but also, we mentioned a couple weeks ago that Celebrity Ninja Warrior was happening.
Yes.
And our own resident ninja on in the DC Universe, Stephen Amell, actually ran the course. And we'll talk to you a little bit about that.
He was a true superhero, guys.
Yes. So, it was great. But where are we gonna, let's, actually, before we get into news, we always put this stuff at the end of the show, but Super Friends, many of you know that we do this on Facebook Live almost every week.
Yes.
But we want to get the video of this out to as many people as possible. We need your help. We need you to tell us, because Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, all of those have live streaming now. What is the platform that you guys are going to watch it most on if you were going to watch this show live?
Yeah, let us know. I put out some stuff on our social media to see what people said. I got some YouTube and maybe Twitch if we were doing something else. But for now, it just seems like everyone says YouTube or stay on Facebook Live.
Yeah, so let us know. I mean, if we need to, we could set up a couple of old phones and do a couple of different medias. But I'd like to keep it to one. So, is there anything else news-wise we want to get into before we get into the shows?
No, and if we find anything else about big news, we'll just mention it as we go.
Yeah, well, one thing that we do need, guys, we do need this from you guys, and it takes very little from you. Head over to iTunes. If you like this show, go over to iTunes, find DC Superpowers Podcast, leave us a rating or review. The reviews are even better, but the ratings help too.
Yes.
Anything that helps other people find us and help us makes it easier so people, when they're looking for a DC Comics podcast, they'll find us.
Yeah, let's make us famous.
That's right. So, but let's get into Supergirl.
All right. Oh, my God.
Supergirl was amazing.
The star of the show was just impactful. The fight scene. I couldn't help it. I felt like I was going to get a tear in my eye. I was going to run down my face. I didn't think I was going to enjoy seeing a Superman and Supergirl fight this well on a live-action scale on TV.
Well, they had teased for a couple of weeks now that General Zod was going to be on this.
Right.
But, and you get him done before the title sequence.
Yeah.
But the way they got him in there was kind of cool.
It was very interesting to see him there but not really being there. But you know what kind of impact it gave Superman whenever he fought him. This was the only villain seems like he feared. So.
Yeah. Well, also, had you ever heard of Silver Kryptonite before?
It was mentioned in Smallville.
They used it in Smallville.
I think Brainiac or something like that.
I don't remember who used it. But here, let me bring it up. I have the DC Wiki up, and Silver Kryptonite was around before then.
Okay,
but originally Silver Kryptonite first showed up in Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen number 70, and it was just a joke. Jimmy Olsen made it as a joke to play on Superman for his silver anniversary. For the 50th anniversary of Superman, they made it as a prop. Then the next one was actually used in Smallville.
Okay.
And it actually was created by Milton Fine, which is Brainiac. And when Clark was pricked by this artificial form of kryptonite, he begins having paranoid delusions and becomes convinced that his friends and family are out to destroy him, which is very similar to what we got on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It said silver kryptonite causes hallucinations, which is why he saw Zod when he was fighting Kara. Such as imagining conversation. In post-crisis continuity, in the comic books, Silver K demonstrates certain mystical properties that are of great value to the supernatural community. Two known samples of this magic kryptonite, which was the Silver K, have been forged into a pair of twin medallions known as the Akam Reshe, or the Amulets of Mindfulness. One half of the amulet is located inside a volcano on Dinosaur Island, while its twin was forged into a stone tablet found at the Oblivion Bar. For Kryptonians, exposure to Silver K yields effects similar to that of cannabis. So it's like they...
They
start to get high, basically.
Oh, the hallucinations pop in. Okay.
Those affected by it experience a loss of inhibition, altered perceptions, extreme hunger cravings, and some psychotropic hallucinations.
This is their Mary Jane.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, well...
So there's a couple different ways it's been used. You don't see much of it in the comics or in TV.
Out of all the kryptonite, this is probably the one I had less known information for.
Yeah. Well, most people, everybody knows of... green, red, and blue are the most common. Gold is probably the next one after that.
There's a black, too.
There is a black kryptonite, but it wasn't used only once or twice.
Okay.
If you actually look through in the, almost 80 years of Superman, there's been many, many forms of kryptonite.
I think his kryptonite became almost as colorful as the Green Lantern, or Lantern Spectrum.
Exactly. So, that was awesome to see, and just like everybody was predicting, all over the internet they were predicting that that Zod was going to be basically a hallucination, and guess what? Zod was a hallucination.
Yep. And Kara was getting her butt whooped for a while. Just them fighting and throwing blows at it, like I said, on a TV scale, I didn't think it was going to be that intense. Mm-hmm. I definitely felt like if I was here seeing something like that in the city, I would be afraid for my life.
Yeah.
Seeing the two people with ass on their chest running around punching each other.
The very beginning seemed a little rushed, though, to me. Because the end of that fight is fine. It's fine. They actually had a good fight, a good long fight with a couple of scenes in there. But the problem was, as soon as the fight was over, all of a sudden, you go to credits, you come back in the dream sequence, and she wakes up, she's in the fortress.
Right, along with Superman.
And then you need Alex to come up with the line of, oh, you woke up just long enough to take us all to the fortress and pass out again.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
A big transaction that happened that we didn't know nothing about. It didn't show us any detail. I would have liked it better if they would have had another character brought
in. It almost feels like they had wrote the script and they found out this was going to go a little longer than they expected.
Yeah.
So they like, oh, how are we going to fix this? Well, here's the scene we can drop, and then we can just add one line of exposition and have it done.
I know they were saving this fight scene for the beginning of this episode, but it felt like it was literally recorded with the previous show.
Yeah.
And then they cut it. Then they were going to be in a force.
Probably.
But the way it happened, they wanted to save that for a good beginning part of the show, which but now it made me want to just go and play Injustice against Supergirl and Superman. That's all I could think about. But as we said before, we got another glimpse, and this was just something I noticed. In the video game right now, Superman and Supergirl have some beef because of his beliefs compared to hers. And then what we saw in the show, they are still fighting for different reasons. So I guess this was the week or month of having the two S on their chests fight each other.
Oh, yeah.
But Zod was in there, and we don't really know what prominent role he had before in the show, do we?
We have nothing other than the fact that he was Superman's...
villain. The greatest villain.
Because the way Rhea explained the Silver K was that it makes you, a Kryptonian, see...
his worst fears.
Well, hallucinates.
Yeah.
But he was directed in his hallucinations to see his biggest nightmares, basically. And his biggest nightmare, his biggest villain, which I don't really agree with myself, but was Zod.
I don't either, but...
The most powerful villain, yes.
Yeah,
but his biggest villain and
was
his
Doomsday.
Biggest... No.
No.
Well, it depends on if Doomsday's been in this or not.
That's what I was going to say, because
but
to me it should have
been
Doomsday.
Over 80 years is Lex Luthor.
Yeah, but...
But then again, that really wouldn't have made it that great of a fight.
Yeah, the thing with Lex Luthor that he fears of is him killing Lex and him stepping off that boundary line, just like Batman is with the Joker. But Joker even has more of a fear on Batman because of what he has done. But I think that
if you're wanting to have
Doomsday.
A fight scene, if you're wanting to have a fight scene, you don't want to make Lex Luthor the villain of it.
No. But that's why I'm thinking Doomsday hasn't even been mentioned or appeared at all in this series whatsoever. His story
not
has
yet.
Not been there yet.
But that we'll save that for speculation at the end of this.
Yeah, I couldn't possibly
So what's the next one we got up on here?
Next one we have, Supergirl and Rhea, they challenge each other after whole fight scene.
Well, while they're in the fortress, Superman and Supergirl are like, well, okay, how are we going to defeat all of these Daxamites?
Right. We can't really get every single one of them off the Earth that
they
fast.
They go to the biggest library in the known universe in the fortress.
Mm-hmm.
And they've okay, I need everything about Daxam. And then they find there's the challenge of Daxur, I think
it
was.
And it's like an old, very old
It's basically a challenge to single combat.
Right, and whoever wins gets to stay, whoever loses has to go.
Each and army, and there's very similar rights and challenges throughout our human history also.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's a tradition.
Exactly. And basically, you choose a champion, the opponent chooses a champion, whoever wins, the other army has to leave.
Mm-hmm. But after that was happening, I noticed something really good about Cat Grant. She's becoming a likable character. I'm saying that not just, I've hated her in her past, but I'm actually liking what she's doing. She's kind of curveballing everybody in the show.
Yeah.
She's not letting you know she knows as much as she really does. I'm going to skip ahead here a little bit. She knows who everybody is so far, except seemed like Clark Kent.
it's interesting. Because we don't know until the end that she knows everybody.
Right.
We know last week she figured out who James was.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, she had to tie up his partner and everybody else with them. Also, in this episode, she always is Kara's and Supergirl's
mentor. Like a mentor.
Which is kind of weird for her.
kind of, sort of. Well, this is also... compared to what we ever get in the comic books, as far as I can remember, this is an older, almost an older and wiser Cat Grant.
Mm-hmm. She's not the one that we knew from the Superman comic books.
No,
just like
in the Superman comics, she was about the same age as Clark and Lois.
Right.
This one, she's about 10 years older.
Yeah, and she likes,
or maybe a little more.
Yeah, or Clark, he doesn't age well.
Yeah,
or he does age well, very well. So who knows?
Well, we know Clark's in his mid-30s.
Okay.
Because Kara's in her mid-20s, and it was about 10 years after he landed.
True. Didn't think about that.
Or not 10 years. He was about 10 years older than her when she landed. So
right, okay, because he was a baby when she was about 12. But
she's actually older, but he looks older.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about this was in this episode, Martian Manhunter was out last episode, and we thought, where is he going to come back, and how is he going to come back?
Well, this episode, just like all the other ones, all three of these basically brought back anybody we've had in the show for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Came back.
That took a little.
We had McGann came back.
Right. And she came back through him in a vision.
Yes.
It startled him so much, he actually thought she was there. But from, I guess, Mars to here and Earth, their mental telepathy helped him wake up out of his little coma. And I think all he needed was just a little nudge. It didn't seem like nothing was too wrong with him. He just needed somebody to tell him, hey, wake up.
Yeah. She said, wake up. He's like, huh? Okay, I'm up.
Immediately. And after that, everybody greets him with warm arms, and then this is when they have to finally get the
best one
off.
Is when they come in, Wynn jumps up like Papa Bear, runs
and
gives
him
the giant hug
and hugs him. He didn't just run up, he just goes with it like a little glide on the floor.
That felt a little out of place, but it still was cool.
Wynn can pull it off, But when
Wynn had some great moments in this one,
he really did.
When Superman and Kara first come back to the DEO, and
he
Superman
help a fanboy out over
him. He's fanboying over Superman. He's like, I'm sure you probably don't know who. And Superman's like,
I remember
you're Wynn Shot. You're the super smart guy here.
Yeah, he's like,
how you
he
doing?
He remembers
buddy?
Me.
When Superman says, "How you doing, buddy?" I mean,
but. Wynn, of course, is going to be a little fanboy of Superman. He is probably his biggest fan, more than
Which
Jimmy.
Is funny, because he works directly with Supergirl all the time.
Right, and he's like, that's
Superman
Supergirl, but Superman, that's your cousin. He's the real reason why that's on you. But also, we got to figure out here, they need to get the Daxamites off of Earth, and they can't do it just by a challenge, because they don't really trust her. Now, they're supposed to, but if it doesn't work, they need a contingency plan, a backup plan to get them off the planet. Well, who else better go through to get aliens off the planet except for Luther?
That's right. And Lena's mother comes back to meet her again and says, hey, I have something that might help get these Daxamites out of here.
Something her son could not perfect.
We went back to – remember we were saying we had callbacks to anything that happened during the season?
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember back in the first half of the season, That's not Lena.
Lillian?
Lillian Luther, yes. Oh, okay. She actually broke into one of Lex's vaults.
Right.
And we saw, what was the atomic hammer, the power, the purple power suit was there. Yeah, there was a couple of other things, but there was this box. And what it was Lex was working on a device that would seed the atmosphere with trace amounts of kryptonite, just enough to cripple Kryptonians, but not hurt anybody else.
Right.
So she brings it to Lena.
And she's the one that's going to actually take everything that Lex could not do, but kind of reverse it a little bit and only work for the Daxamites.
So basically it's going to lace the Earth's atmosphere with trace amounts of lead, which is like kryptonite to Daxamites.
Right. So
but not enough to hurt humans, but enough that Daxamites cannot live on Earth.
Right. Now, if they stay here, they're going to die. They have a very short time to get off the planet. And the thing about this is they were thinking, well, everybody will be okay and off the planet. And Mon-El can stay as well, because he's a Daxamite, but we like him. No.
The problem is, yeah, he is still a Daxamite.
Exactly.
Now, he can survive. They figured he would be able to survive just a couple of minutes more.
Because of the yellow
because
sun.
Because he's been in the yellow sun for longer. Mm-hmm. And Daxamites, like Kryptonians, absorb yellow sun and actually get stronger with the sun.
Right, but even when Supergirl or Superman or any Kryptonian has kryptonite in their face, no matter if the sun's out or not,
exactly,
it still is going to weaken them. Might not kill them, but it will definitely hurt them.
So, and then John sends Wynn over to help Lena figure this out, which is just
the two
him going
people.
Off, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's not. He's really upset because Lillian's there. He has a mind work with Lena. It's like, Lillian, I don't like you. She bumps into him. He's like, I don't like you. but they're working on this device. Now, this is happening. We get to see the showdown between Supergirl and Rhea, which I thought was pretty clever they made it. Now, I felt like it was a little lackluster because of what we got in the beginning with the...
Well, see, this whole episode was a lot of fight scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the Rhea Supergirl fight scene was pretty good, too.
But this one was more technical.
Yeah, well, Rhea doesn't have the power of Superman.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
So the two of them going at it could de-level the city.
That's the other thing, guys, that we need to touch on. The only reason that Supergirl is able to challenge her as Earth's... Earth's champion is because they saw Supergirl beat Superman while he was seeing Zod. So...
Yeah.
Some people on the internet was getting a little upset about that.
Well, it's interesting. I've heard some people had a complaint that Supergirl beat Superman at all.
Right, yeah.
Well, I kind of like the way they explained it in this. Because they explained it that Superman, no matter what, he fights everything. The first thing in his brain when he's fighting is he's doing this to save Lois.
Okay.
Okay.
So I heard something different after you get done.
And Supergirl is fighting for the planet.
Okay.
Is the thing. So that it's like, if Lois isn't at risk, Superman's not usually fighting at 100% or 120%, whereas
I haven't
Supergirl
heard that one,
is.
That would make sense.
Well, that's what they said on the show.
Is that what they said?
Superman fights for Lois. He said the difference is when Supergirl ends up having to push the button and see the atmosphere of lead, Superman said straight up, I would not have been able to do that if it was Lois. He would not have been able to do that and lose Lois.
Okay.
Whereas she made the decision of the planet over Mon-El, which Lois and Mon-El both would say do it.
Okay.
Lois would have told him to do it. Do whatever's going to kill me to save the planet.
Yeah, both of them would have.
But Superman would not said to himself that he would not be able to make that choice.
And we do know that is his weakness from everything else we've seen in his life.
Well, yeah, and Superman said that's their greatest, their real secret superpower for the House of El, for he and Supergirl is the people they love.
Okay.
They get strength from that.
Now, the only reason I thought she beat him when I first saw this was because she was on... Her power is untapped compared to Superman's.
Some, yeah. She's still opening it all up and stuff.
She's more like a soda can you've shaken up and you release it, it's going to pop. Superman knows how to control his power level, so he doesn't
go all the
way out.
Well, he built his gradually over time. She was already a teenager when
exactly.
she got here.
Right, so he has a little bit more control. I thought that's why she was able to beat him. But anyways, this is why she's the one fighting Rhea and not Superman, because right now she beats the Earth's champion. So now she's Earth's champion. And as he said... It would be better for her to do so anyway.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes the fight actually better is Rhea had a plan.
Yeah.
She knew what she's been corrupted with for her whole life.
Yeah.
Well, not her whole life, but ever since Krypton blew up.
Yeah, she's had kryptonite with her forever.
Forever. Now, it's not the kryptonite, guys, that you're thinking of, like a stone or a rock. This was in her blood. It has poisoned her blood to this point, being around it. Lex Luthor would probably marry her. So she lets Supergirl just beat on her and punch on her and brutalize her. And she's like, good, you're going to make me bleed. And when she does that, she wipes her blood and shows that there's kryptonite in her blood and it's glowing green.
Yeah.
So Kara's being weakened right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's losing the fight.
So she's, yeah.
But eventually she's going to overcome. I don't know how she overcomes.
Well, eventually
that.
She just, well, no, it's just a matter of Kara. And Kara even said, we said that she basically fights, when she's fighting, she's fighting
for
the planet.
Which she did do, but I was
which
like.
Which is where she pulled extra strength for that.
Man,
like Superman said, the people they love is gives them extra strength. Well, she took her love of this planet and of the people.
They are a symbol for hope. So
exactly,
it makes sense.
She actually starts to beat Rhea, and now she does beat Rhea.
Yes, she does.
But Rhea says, "You know what? I don't care about the gods anyway in this whole thing." So, and then all of her ships start targeting all the cities and children's hospitals and all
and
that stuff in the city,
blowing up the buildings. Like, but you made a problem. She's like, "No, see, the gods they don't matter right now."
Yeah.
This is when Mon-El says, "You dishonored your whole planet by doing this." There's no way he wants to be his mother now at this point. He didn't before either, but. This is when we get to notice Kara tells them to pull the trigger, and Mon-El's shaking his head like,
yeah,
you're going to have to now. Wynn and Lena pull the trigger. Well, before that happened, Lillian wanted to pull the trigger.
Yeah, she wanted to pull the trigger as soon as the device was finished.
Yeah.
Then she finds out you can't detonate the device from where the device is at.
Mm-hmm.
Lena already got rid of the trigger, so the Supergirl is the only person that can actually detonate this bomb.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when they detonated, and the Daxamites that want to live, they go...
Before this, as soon as the fight starts, Superman and Mon-El have to start fighting all of the Daxamites that are around town, because they're still smashing
everything. And that was a pretty good scene, too.
Yeah, seeing all of the fighting. Together. Well, we see Superman and John Jones, which is awesome, seeing Superman and Martian Manhunter fighting side by side.
When they, I don't know, what language were they speaking?
One was
Kryptonian.
John Jones spoke Kryptonian.
Okay.
Stronger Together. It's actually something we got in the first season.
Okay.
It's the motto of the House of El.
Okay.
And then Clark, I think, was speaking Martian when he said brother.
That's funny. Okay. And they walked out with the X and the S on their chest, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I was waiting for them to come back together because they were the big key of it that drew me into the show.
But then Mon-El joins them, and they start but the problem is there's way too many Daxamites.
And then this is
and
when we
out
can
of
help
nowhere,
Miss Martian.
Miss Martian shows up to help fight.
Right.
And she's brought an army of white Martians with her.
Right, because remember earlier in the show, she said, if I'm a different white Martian, I know there has to be other good white Martians just like me. Which she found after she went back to Mars, and she brought in some help to save the city.
Exactly.
So, everybody's coming back this season at the very end of this fight, and this is how they're able to beat Rhea. Now, Aurea, and then this is where she actually dies in a completely different way than what I thought she was going to do. Like,
well, basically, all the other Daxamite soldiers beamed back to their ships right away.
And they didn't care about her
long
either.
Enough. Well, she stayed long enough. She breathed enough lead that she basically turned into lead dust.
Yep, and poof.
And it crumbled. Which brought us to the end of the episode, and there's a couple of crazy things that happen.
A lot of crazy stuff.
One, they have to... Mon-El had an extra, 10 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
So they got him into a Kryptonian pod and sent him into space with the big tearful goodbye with Kara.
Yep.
And all that. We'll get to what happened to that in a minute.
Okay.
But after that, Kara, obviously her boyfriend's gone. She's lost him.
She's lonely now.
She ends up going the next day into... Kat's office, and Kat notices that she's all frowny. He's like, wait, you're never frowny.
Frowny, yeah.
This doesn't work. You have to smile.
Yeah.
So then they get into the heart-to-heart conversation about Kara losing her boyfriend and all this stuff. And the funny thing with Kat is she tells a story about how women are able to take on more strength because I don't remember exactly how she put it. But it was like women can actually move past pain easier than men or something like that.
They're built like that, basically, what she's saying. We're
she talks about how she's been married four times.
And went to it would have been a fifth time. Once, but...
Well, it would have been a fifth time, but she turned down Rob Lowe twice.
Twice. And that's when Kara's like, oh, okay.
Oh, also, Kat, did you see there was two Star Wars references? Two big ones.
Never watched Star Wars before.
Yeah, the first one is she never watched Star Wars. Which is funny because every time I love it. Every time they give Cat Grant Star Wars references, because she's married to Han Solo.
So it's like I never even seen that movie.
Well, the other
like,
one.
What?
Do you know what the second reference was? The first one they're talking about. He'd never. Did you recognize where the second reference to Star Wars was? It was in this final speech.
No, I didn't.
She's talking about how Kara's on her own hero's journey, like a Joseph Campbell's type journey. Star Wars was based on a lot of the idea of the original New Hope was based on Joseph Campbell's philosophical views of the hero's journey.
Okay.
That was Luke Skywalker's journey was straight out of Joseph Campbell's stuff.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Yeah. I completely missed
that's
that.
That's a real Star Wars geeks picked that up.
There's my card. I'm showing my sign.
But that's fine.
But at the end of all this, she's like you said, she's just a big mentor, and she's telling her women can go through certain things that other people on this planet cannot do. And she's telling her just you're gonna have to get back out there, and no matter what obstacles or whatever person leaves your life or comes in your life, Kara will always be the one to pull her way out of there and look at something on the bright side.
Yeah.
And as this is being said, she's getting a little teary-eyed, happy and everything, and she looks on the news, and it's like, hey, there's a fire happening. Well, Supergirl's got to go into action to save the day, which she does do. She tells her, hey, Miss Grant, thank you for helping me. You're always there for me, and I got to go do this. I forgot about something. Well, as she's walking out of her room, she says, you go get him, Supergirl. It's like, wait.
Yeah.
She knows that, too.
Yeah, that's no it. One's she safe. Let everybody know that.
No one's safe from Cat Grant. She'll know your secret identity.
So, she knows just about everybody. But earlier, you could tell that she really... I couldn't tell if she actually knows who Clark is or not.
That's what also I was trying to figure out, too. Now, he does have the glasses on. But I think she might know who he really is.
It's possible.
At this point.
Yeah.
If this is her cousin.
Especially when Superman's running around the city and Clark happens to show up that day.
And also, if she's cousins to Clark Kent and she knows who Supergirl is, she probably can figure out this and that. The thing that's getting me now, by the end of this, before we get to the last one, or last two things we need to touch on, when is Lena Luthor going to figure out who Kara is, or when will she tell her? Now, there's going to be two things.
Well, her mom, Lillian, knows.
Right.
But she told Supergirl straight up, I'm not telling Lena, because when she does find out, and you have not told her this, she will hate you because of
it. And she will.
Maybe. Maybe not. She may understand why Supergirl never told her.
I don't know. I'm thinking this one
on in superhero comics, we've seen this both ways. We've seen it when someone understands why they weren't told.
Right.
And also, we've seen betrayal because of
you didn't
they were
tell
never
me,
told.
You didn't trust me. After
Smallville was classic for that because I just got done. Yep. The last episode I watched was the one where Clark tells Pete that he's Superman. Or not Superman, but he's got all these powers. He's alien.
Yeah, he's Superboy at this time.
And Pete, for that entire episode, is hating Clark, and all these things are it's going through all the Smallville drama that we had for the first couple seasons.
Yep. But eventually he got over
it. But at the end of it, Pete realizes why he wasn't told.
Right.
And this happens all throughout comic books.
The thing I was going to say, I kind of thought about that too, went right back to the whole Lex, the Clark Kent situation. But in Supergirl, she saved the world at this point. Lena Luthor literally just saved the planet, and you cannot trust her with telling her your secret identity.
Yeah, especially since it's like, you gotta think, who knows Supergirl's identity? We know,
everyone.
Jimmy? Jimmy, Wynn, Alex, Maggie, Jimmy, Wynn, Alex, Maggie, Superman.
Everyone on the show.
The entire DEO.
Yeah. But Lena Luthor.
Yeah.
And I cannot figure out why.
That's something with these CW shows. It's like everybody in the world knows their secret identities for everybody.
Because now I'm touching to a different show, but this is why I love The Flash so much.
No, in The Flash, everybody knows Barry's identity,
too. Well, that's why I loved it so much, because it's like, if you're going to have people around you this close to you, it would just make it a lot easier in everyone's lives if you told them who you are.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I think is going to bite her in the butt in the third season now. But the one thing
especially with Lena being a series regular for the third season.
That might be why she's a series regular.
It's possible.
But the thing that really blew our minds away at the end of this one was, where's Mon-El going?
Exactly.
After he got sent off the ship.
Well, we see that Mon-El is going through space and looking at some things, and all of a sudden this wormhole-looking thing opens up before him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, wait a minute, what's this? And he gets a look on his face like, wait a minute, I don't know what this is. And he's trying to change things as he gets sucked into this wormhole.
Now, when's the last time we've seen a wormhole?
Well, one, it could be the Phantom Zone. Which, in the comic books, he ends up with lead poisoning, and he gets put into the Phantom Zone.
Right.
So, and then the Legion pulls him out later.
Right.
It could be a, if you're going, like, what it looks like for the Flash, it looks like one of the tunnels they use to travel through time through the Speed Force.
Exactly. And what did he see when he went through the Speed Force when he was... Was it not the Speed Force?
Well, no, not him. The Flash has seen it all these times.
Right.
Well, one, we've seen it, what you're talking about, we've seen here. In Supergirl, when they first introduced the Fortress, they did a pan around at some of the things in the Fortress, and there's a ring sitting on a pedestal.
Yep.
In
With
Super
an L on it.
Yes. Well, in Flash, One of the first times he travels through time, they actually showed, this was before they actually combined Supergirl and Flash.
Mm-hmm.
It was last season. They showed little glimpses of different worlds. They showed a clip from the original Flash TV series from the 90s.
Yep.
They showed, I think they showed Supergirl.
They did.
And they showed a Legion ring. Mm-hmm. The same one we see
now. Now, Legion ring was not shown anywhere else in the media.
No.
Like this.
So.
Of Flash or Supergirl.
The big question is, are we going to get the Legion next season? And are we getting Mon-El back?
Now, we may get Mon-El back. We may not get the Legion exactly.
I'm thinking we'll get the Legion at least for one or two episodes.
Okay. Hopefully. I was thinking if he... This is something, if they're going to build up the show, I'd be willing to wait for season four.
Possibly.
Have Mon-El come back. Have him talk a little bit about this new team he's found. But don't show us yet. And then give it to us for another time.
Okay.
But that I'll be okay if that. If they give it to us, I'm fine with that too. But if not, I'll be okay with the build-up. Because the Legion of Superheroes are something that... I haven't really seen in media except for a couple of cartoons from early, like, 2000 and...
A couple of cartoons. They had an entire series. It was a one-season one-season series.
Didn't that come out, like, 2004, 2005?
Something like that. It was Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes.
There we go. Okay.
Also, they were on Smallville for a
and
couple episodes.
And they're also on Justice League Unlimited.
They've been on Justice League Unlimited. The Legion's been around since the 70s.
But they haven't... I don't know. We need to see... A bigger part of them, and with DC's live-action TV shows being so good, I would love to see them. I would actually like to see a show of them.
Yeah.
But that's I saw a little speculation for where Mon-El is going, but the last thing...
The last one was, yes.
Blue. I have no idea where they're going with this. I'm blind.
And for Superman being the last son of Krypton, there's a whole lot more of those last son of Kryptons running around.
We've been making jokes about that for years.
We've got, what, four pods now running around?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the Mon-El. Two pods. Mon-El came... in a Kryptonian pod, but he was coming from Daxam.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Okay.
But you got Superman and Kara that both were shipped off of Krypton at the same time.
Right. And we all know
and
how
now we
play
got
out.
Another pod that was launched at the same time.
Evil pod.
And the house the
Very
house crest
evil.
On it is like a skull.
Yeah. I never seen that skull
I've
before.
Never seen the house crest. And then also the two like witches or whatever that put this
I don't know what
baby in the pod. The one bit her finger
and
then put blood on his forehead before
That's just letting you know this baby's going to have a bad route when he gets older.
Well, and also, she's told that she tells him when you get to Earth,
whenever that
you're going
be.
To go, you're going to grow up strong and you will rule this planet.
And see, when she said rule, I was thinking about Zod, but I'm like, that can't be Zod.
No, because Zod was part of the destruction of Krypton,
right.
Or at least had something to do with that there.
I just heard that rule and I don't know who the heck this could be.
I don't want to see them do this, but that almost reminds me of Doomsday.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking.
That's what
I was thinking, because with the blood and that type of stuff, it sounds like Doomsday to me.
But I'm thinking it can't be Doomsday. It was a thought, but
yeah,
why,
but
would, you
yeah, why would you put
Doomsday
with Supergirl?
Now, if they did their own spin-off of a Doomsday character.
A Doomsday-like character, like they did Bizarro Girl.
Right.
So maybe they'll create something for here.
We'll find out, hopefully, at the beginning of next season, because this is something... that I'm trying to figure out who could possibly be this evil, marking blood on them.
Well, if it's anything like last season, we'll find out before the next season comes, because we found out who was in the pod in, what, August of last year?
Mm-hmm. So,
we'll
figure it out. But that was Supergirl. I'm trying.
Supergirl was awesome.
I'm looking up some other stuff now. I didn't want to spoil anything until we got done with what we had to say. But now
you're
like,
looking it up.
Yeah, like...
Well, wait, why don't you wait till we get to done with the show, and then you can look that stuff up.
Okay, all right. Anticipation, man. Anticipation. I can't...
That's right. So, next up, we actually got the series finale of Flash. And Flash gave us
Flash
a lot of stuff that we called.
Oh, yeah. We were clear. I think... How many things did we get
right
with this?
Us and the rest of the world all had a bunch of stuff that we
called.
This is
how you know we're fans of the Flash.
That's right. One was when Iris died, we said, there ain't no way Iris is dead.
Right.
There's no way.
And I'm thinking to myself, but... Now, do you remember I did say there was a HR funeral picture leaked somewhere on the internet? Remember that?
Okay.
So that's why... That was the only thing in my head saying this could be HR, because there was a
funeral. They did get me, though.
That could be him.
When I saw Barry Holdner, I was like, dude, that's going to end up being HR. Were you surprised when HR comes right around the corner to see Joe?
No,
and
because
right
I,
after that.
I knew that when HR came, that wasn't HR. I knew that was Harrison Wells from Earth 2. I just...
No, that wasn't that came
that
around
wasn't?
The corner. No, that was Iris
oh,
also
yeah, no.
being changed.
That's what I thought it was, and I'm like, okay. They brought you back, but why did they bring you back? And then when the sticks fell, I'm like,
yeah,
once
Iris drops the sticks, then you know who it is.
That's not Iris. They switch.
Yes.
And they didn't want to spoil anything for us, of course, in the previous episode. But while Iris was kidnapped,
HR went in there, and he's like, well, I gotta fix this because I messed up. So yeah.
So he swaps places with Iris.
Yeah, he uses the face swap, and he says, I'm taking this over. She's like, no, you can't
do that. But
that's
also how Savitar got the knife back in his armor. Because that claw that comes off of his armor was what HR had that was helping him track where Savitar was at.
That's right. That's right. So.
He
literally put himself in the death chair.
Yeah, pretty much. Then, what else? Yeah, that was the first two things there. And once again, just like Supergirl, we had the return of anybody who's been in the show all week or all year.
One of the big ones, the return there was Gypsy. Gypsy saved Cisco this time, but he wasn't as appreciative of it as we thought he was going to be, and happy to see her. He was worried about his friend Caitlin. The only reason why Vibe stayed working with Savitar and Caitlin, because he could have left.
Yeah.
He could have vibed out of there. But like you said, if that happens, you won't be able to cure her, and I'll kill her. So you're going to lose your best friend. And he's like, oh.
The Legion of Doom is trying to
do
something
here. Are we all good here?
Yeah, we're still running as far as I know.
Had a little hiccup here, guys. we did have a power outage earlier today. So, you know, not here at my house, but down the
way. We're still recording.
But we're still here. Anyways, so he stays with them, and Savitar threatens him. But then Savitar pulls the wool over everybody else's eyes. Savitar pretends that he's feeling these emotions and he's being good because Barry now has, well, not just Barry, Team Flash has now saved Iris and now the future's changed.
Exactly.
Now, that was the only reason that he wanted to be a bad guy was because he did not have Iris. Now he's remembering having Iris.
Yeah. Well, no, what happened was he's not changed at all, really. He remembers all these new things now.
But memories can change they weren't there before.
It's not changed him really much.
That we
you were sucked into that, weren't you? When Barry goes and talks to him and Savitar starts thinking maybe I can live with these people.
I didn't know what he was gonna do. I'm like, is he doing this for his advantage?
He was suckering him in the whole time.
He
was suckering them the whole time.
Or what? I didn't know.
Because he changed his plan. He decided, well, instead of killing Iris so that I can live, I have to figure out a way that, because they know that at this point, we know just through the CW universe, the Flaro universe, that time doesn't automatically change immediately.
No, it takes a little
while. It takes a minute for it to set itself out. So, he knows that he's now a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was created because Barry was trying to use a bunch of remnants to take out Savitar.
I was going
to
say, if you're going to say, I'm going to sit back and let you explain this.
It's a causal loop. Mm-hmm. And if you, and actually, the best people I've ever heard explain this was actually Flash TV Talk, podcast. I'll give them a shout out to now because they have the whole thing. They had the most, they called just
they
about everything.
They broke it down.
So, but basically, Savitar causes his own creation.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't cause his own creation, he's never created and never. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy type deal.
Okay.
So in order for him to be created, he has to kill Iris.
Okay.
So if Iris doesn't die, Barry doesn't create Savitar, and now he's got to figure out, okay, how am I going to survive?
Oh, and speaking of survive, since HR did not survive, why am I forgetting her name? The new doctor. Our new scientist.
I don't know, but keep going.
she now has a little hole in her heart, and then this is where Harrison Wells has to come back and convince her. Tracy,
yes.
Convince her that you need to stay here and do this, because she was going to leave. And
oh, yeah.
Without her there, it's like, wait a minute, we need you for the future.
Yeah, she still has to be able to help work with us here.
But he convinced her to stay because that's why HR did sacrifice himself so the team can move forward with everything else they need to do to be a superhero team. And this is where Savitar finally reveals, ha, got you guys. And he tries to blow up the building.
Yes.
And this is where he tried to, now, was this the Speed Force he was trying to do? Because I felt like this was happening. Or do you remember what happened in Rebirth earlier this year with, the Speed Force storm?
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. That's the end of the episode.
But is this what caused it?
That's first thing I thought when I saw that. I was thinking the Speed Force storm, so that next season we're going to have a whole bunch of speedsters running around.
Now, is this when Savitar blew the building up, is that what triggered all of it?
Well, the building was destroyed by the storm.
Okay, so that
so that's later on in the episode.
Okay, I thought that happened a little bit earlier.
No.
All right, well.
We do find out, though, that Savitar's having Cisco rewire the Speed Force bazooka that they had made.
Right.
So that it would actually cause it's – I don't know all the OMG science behind it, but it was
we'll try
basically hit Savitar and explode him, So that he basically exists in every moment of time throughout, from the beginning to end.
Now.
And he could be a god.
Now, I don't know if anybody knows, though, this sounded like something from Marvel. This was like the Molecule Man. He does basically the same thing.
Okay.
But this was going to be very bad for Savitar. Instead of make him strong, it's going to weaken him out. Which was good, and they tried to do. But, of course, nothing goes the way they want.
Well, Savitar has an... Sisko does rewire the gun.
Yes.
And the only difference is, instead of throwing Savitar into time and he becomes a god, it releases Jay Garrick from the Speed Force.
Yep. Which we were happy to see come back, always.
Exactly. Which we're going to be talking about Jay Garrick a little later.
Coming back.
You can see him a lot easier on this one.
You can. You see yours, but look at that. Look at that little
I don't know. I can't pay a dollar extra just because of a special cover.
Oh, but it feels so good. but, yeah, so also
it was fantastic to see Jay Wally and Barry all running together. It would have been just a touch cooler if we had
Jesse
there, but still.
You know what made it even more awesome? Bart Allen.
Well, they've not introduced him
yet.
We
haven't, but that... But before they did all the speeches get together, we do find out exactly why Savitar wanted Killer Frost with
her. Yes.
Her main purpose.
Because the next thing the Vibe does is open the Speed Force so the Black Flash can come in.
Yes.
Because now, as of this point, Savitar is
a god.
An anomaly. No.
Or not an anomaly.
He's a,
not a god.
He's a paradox. Anomaly.
So,
and the Black Flash, his job is to destroy Speed Force
just
anomalies.
Just like what he was doing with Legions of...
Uh-huh.
Legend of Tomorrow.
That's
with,
why he was going after Reverse Flash because Eobard was a paradox.
Yeah, and it's like, once you do that, we need a... Mm-hmm.
So Hunter Solomon was on his way.
And
well, the thing is...
Black Flash...
What's the one kryptonite... Basically, what's the kryptonite for speedsters?
Freezing them.
Cold.
Mm-hmm. That's why
Cold
Captain
slows
Cold,
everything down.
Killer Frost. Mm-hmm. All these villains with the ability to freeze down and slow the Flash down. His molecules stop. He can't run anymore.
Exactly.
But she froze him so bad, Hunter Zolomon is no more. At least, unless
well, no,
do
the,
something.
I don't think that's going to take
traveling.
Out Hunter Zolomon.
No,
but
it
did slow him down for a while.
Well, I think it's going to take out Hunter Zolomon. There's not going to be
another
Hunter
Zolomon. Yeah, but he's going to need another... No, what it is the Speed Force will just make another avatar of him. Because you got to think, that's not actually Hunter Zolomon.
See, I have a theory.
That's the Speed Force's version of Hunter Zolomon.
But see, I have a theory for this. Since they killed him, Barry's gone away. What makes you think that we won't get a version of Barry?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that once we get to speculation.
All right. Well, as we're going on the show here, the three speedsters, they're running through. And this was awesome, trying to say Savitar.
Yeah.
The slow motion effects were great. But
the way Barry finally beats Savitar is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Where he basically Savitar stops for some reason. I don't remember what it was, but Barry comes in from behind and vibrates into the suit and throws Savitar out of the suit. So now Barry's in the suit. You notice it switched from blue to red.
Yep, and that reminded me what they did. Was it the New 52 comic books when they had Future Flash? He was nothing but Blue Lightning, and Flash had on his red suit.
Something like that. Yeah.
So it just looked like a little callback.
Remember when they originally brought Wally West back in? It was like silver and red.
Right.
It was like an adult Wally West.
Right. But seeing just Blue Lightning and then the red, it's like, oh, wait a minute, this looks something like out of the comic books right now. But he gets in his suit, and he was this close
to actually killing
Savitar. And he could have, but
he stopped.
He's not him. He is Barry Allen.
Well, that's because Savitar messed up. He's like, go ahead and kill me, then you become me.
Mm-hmm. Of course I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So, of course, he blows up the suit. I don't know if he vibrated and it blows up or what, but he shattered it. So now Savitar is just going to be just another... regular speedster. So at this point, he tries to vibrate his hand, stab Barry through the back, but then this is where Iris finally saves Barry.
Exactly.
And she shoots him. I thought it was Joe.
When I first heard the gunshot, I thought it was Joe, but no,
like
it was Iris.
But yeah, so she actually wound up saving him, and he goes into...
And he disappears.
Out of existence.
The paradox finally caught up with him.
Mm-hmm. So no more Savitar. And at this point, guys, everything seems to be happy except for the death of HR. But even though he is gone, they can finally live in happiness knowing that everything's back to normal and they can have
and
a
they know
future.
He chose to do that.
Yes.
It wasn't that he was taken from them. He decided to go.
Mm-hmm. So we have to remember him as he wouldn't like to us being happy.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with this now is, of course, there was a Speed Force storm. If you guys remember when we were doing our reviews of the Rebirth Flash comics that came out, the same thing happened there. All these speedsters got their powers from the...
The Speed Force basically had a giant storm, and lightning struck many people.
Mm-hmm.
And gave them all super speed.
Now, in this show, it doesn't seem like it was...
I think there's only one of those speedsters left. And she's actually... I forget her name, but she's actually in China. She's in the Justice League of China, has one of the speedsters
oh, really?
From the
okay.
Speed Force storm.
That's funny. Well, in the show right now, I don't think it was giving them any speed. I think it was more so just killing people. It looks
like that.
And there's like, is this an earthquake or something? It's like, no, it's the storm. And the storm's here for what reason? Because it doesn't have anybody in the prison of the Speed Force.
Yeah, the Speed Force needs someone in there now because what happened with Wally.
And then Savitar got out, Wally, and Wally. Then Wally got out, then they put Jay Garrett in there. So now
there's nobody in there, it's out of balance.
Exactly. So they need somebody to come back in and step in. Now, Wally, Wally's doing his best to try to save the city while everybody else is trying to figure out what the heck's going on here. And this was everybody steps out, and they still have on their suits from the funeral. But before they went to the Speed Force storm problem, Iris and Barry Allen want to
ahead and move ahead with the wedding now that they're actually.
And it's funny because now also in the paper that they had from the first season,
they're back Iris West Allen wrote the story again now.
Yep, and she still is Iris West Allen.
And it looks like we still have a crisis going on in 2024. Mm-hmm.
Hey. Well, this seems to be another little crisis on Earth. They're just now beginning to move on with their lives, but Barry's going to have to take that place and jump back into the Speed Force for the prison. And this is where his mother's ghost comes back to him and says, son, you're going to need to take your place with us. Come home with us.
Yeah.
And he says his long goodbyes to everybody else on the show, and he's going to have to go away for how long? I don't know. But he does tell Wally, you're going to have to be the speedster to save the city now.
Yeah. So basically, we were talking last week, remember, about Barry running so fast he becomes energy and joins the Speed Force.
Right, like what he did.
Because of what happened at Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like, instead of running, he walked away into the sunset and gave it to Wally.
Yes.
And in the books, also, Jay Garrick helped Wally make that transition. Well, it looks like we're going to have Jay Garrick helping him to make that transition now.
He's going to be his mentor now.
And it looks like, as of right now, Harry Wells from Earth 2 is going to be coming back onto the show.
Because they need a Wells. They're always going
to
need a
Wells. They have to have a Wells. And we're not sure. Another one was with Gypsy. Cisco was in trouble. The reason Gypsy showed up is because when Cisco was in trouble, she knew it.
Yeah,
she
just like what Miss Martian did with John Jones.
Well, the interesting thing with this is, you know, what is it? And she's like, he's like, well, how did you feel that? What do you mean? He's like, haven't you figured it out yet?
Mm-hmm.
We're connected. Why are they connected?
And also, if you remember,
I think it's what Vicky actually called this. The first time I heard it was Vicky called it.
Mm-hmm.
They never said it officially yet, but I think we've talked about it on
that
here.
That they're based, that is.
Is his she doppelganger? His doppelganger?
Yeah.
And then that comes really to, and that comes to, if the two of them decide to, you know, that gets weird.
We're not going to tap into that, guys, but you can use your imagination on that one. But
yeah, if she is him, that's a little,
I just have some jokes for that.
No, we're not going that far.
Not going that far. But then Harry, or HR say, make Cisco be happy.
Yeah. Well, that's, so HR, right before he dies,
right,
whispers to Barry's ear, and it's like something, and it's something that really I don't like, know why they hid that for till the end of the episode. But it was basically telling Barry
to tell Cisco
that HR only was strong enough to do this because of Cisco. Cisco gave him the strength to be able to do this.
So keep being Cisco, be
which
happy,
is interesting because usually the other couple seasons we've had was Wells giving Cisco the strength.
Mm-hmm.
This season was Cisco giving Wells the strength.
And that's why Barry said, out of all the Wells you've met, this one seemed to be a little bit different for you.
Yeah.
So that was something we were going to have to figure out everything. Mm-hmm. Killer Frost.
Yes, Killer Frost actually becomes more Frost. I love how they call her Killer Frost, but she's never killed anybody.
Exactly. And as I said, she didn't have any motive really to kill anybody.
Yeah.
This whole show, it's like she's just being bad for the sake of being bad. There's nothing pushing her for it.
But we see that at the end, we do get Caitlin back.
Mm-hmm. Also, did you hear what the actress said about her contacts? She said it was a little hard to see when they're recording.
Yeah.
So now that they're out and she can actually just be Frost, she likes it a lot better. But now I'm pretty sure when she gets to, like, go crazy with her Frost powers, you know, not to mess with her, they will glow again. But this is a bit of a thing to actor and also the character, because right now what's going on with Justice League of America, she is just Frost. She's not Killer Frost. And now I also think she's going to take the place of what Snark did for Barry.
Okay.
He was a bad guy, but he wasn't really a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, she's not decided if she wants to be a bad guy or a good guy. Or she has the she actually has the cure for
but she decided not to take it.
Metahuman status.
Mm-hmm.
But she's decided she's just going to hang on to that for now.
Right. So I'm thinking that's what's going to happen. She's going to take that place of, if you guys need help, I'm here for you. But I'm not going to be back on your team.
Exactly.
But I have your back for whatever.
But they have that new doctor with them, and another one is Julian still going to be on the team next year?
That's a good question. I mean, does he have a...
If Kalen's not there on the team, why is he there?
And they have... Do we know if he's going to be a series regular?
I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens with Julian. Like you said, there's no point in him being there without Kalen. He could just keep trying to track Kalen down. Might be how they, like, write him off for some episodes. But next season, we will get to hopefully see Kid Flash in a Flash costume?
Quite possibly.
Or Wally in a Flash costume?
What would be interesting is if if they do what my... what I love would happen would be that this new Titans series uses our Kid Flash from here and spins it off into Titans.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be awesome that he becomes Flash for a while. Then when Flash actually comes back, it's like, we don't need two Flashes in the city.
So go back to Kid Flash.
They meet Dick Grayson on Flash,
okay.
And then he and Wally go off and start the Titans. Because the show's not called Teen Titans, it's just called Titans.
Titans, right. And from what we see right now in Titans, Titans are the older version. So
yeah.
And this gives them a good age, because Wally isn't as young as he would have been in the comic books for Teen Titans, but he's not too old where he still can't be just considered just a Titan.
Exactly.
And, hey, they might, like you said, leave the two Flashes, Flash here, Flash there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the end of Flash, and we'll get to see everything else for next season. But the last one we got for another big season finale Arrow.
It was Arrow. And we actually had a surprise return on this one. I did not expect to see Captain Boomerang.
Yeah.
Especially after he was in the Suicide Squad movie.
I like Captain Boomerang better in this episode than I did him previously.
Yeah.
This was more...
Was that the same actor?
Yes.
Okay. It's just been a while since I've seen him.
Yeah. When I saw him, I'm like, that's not Captain Boomerang. Why would you tell out of everyone who he is, Captain Boomerang? He is a scoundrel. You can't trust him with a penny to give back to you.
And we find that out in this episode.
Yeah. And very soon.
But we do get a Jericho reference right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
Because Barry, I'm still in Flash.
That's fine. Ollie comes to Slade and says, hey, I need some help. And he's like, after everything I did, I killed your mother and everything. But he says, I need to find my son back. And I also want to help you find your son.
Exactly. He's like, we saved my son. Ollie tells Deathstroke that we saved my son. I'll help you find your son.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of his actual name, Jericho's real name. There's Grant.
Joe.
Thank you. So he says, we need to find Joe. And I'm like, oh, Joe is
Jericho,
a part of the Teen Titans. And if you notice, there's another little reference to throw in there.
Another Titans reference, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if they do make the show, this is going to be across in this universe. But then they get out to the land, and this is where we see another person, as you said, Captain Boomerang, helping mm-hmm. them. And it's like, why would you want this guy on your team? And as they're walking, he seems a little iffy, and this is where we get to the camp base where they have everybody trapped in Team Arrow.
Yeah.
And then after a while, it's like, oh, well, we're all here, and whose side are you on? Why are you trusting these guys? And Captain Boomerang comes out and says, earlier, I need a gun. No one would trust me with a gun. Why wouldn't you trust me? Slade gets a gun.
Yeah, well, like, Slade gets more than a gun. He has grenades and a sword and
everything in his arsenal.
His entire arsenal.
And he says, well, you know, you're not him. He says, but didn't he kill your mother? Listen.
Yeah.
Don't mention that. But earlier in the episode, Slade, I guess, felt everybody needs a step up somewhere just in case something bad happens. So he gives Captain Moraine a gun. Well, when they get to the campsite, everybody starts to pop out of the woods saying, why does it seem like everybody is so quiet and it seems like they're ready for
us? Why is there no guards around these cages?
Well, because we got a trap for you. And once Team Prometheus pops up, of course, Captain Boomerang pulls out the gun saying, hey, you didn't want to give me one, but Slade did, so sorry.
No, it was Prometheus gave him the gun.
No, I thought he said Slade gave him the
gun. It was Prometheus.
Okay, Prometheus, okay. Man, so he had it tucked on him that whole time, see?
Yeah.
You're more of a twist. But this is where, of course, Arrow are the good guys. They're going to have another step mm-hmm. up on you. So they take them down, and we did get to see, Tigress, Artemis.
Artemis, yes.
She picked the wrong side. We all know that now. She got trapped in the cage, and this is where, Slade tells her, you did pick the wrong side. You should choose your friends better because,
exactly,
you know, he doesn't care nothing about you, Prometheus. And then as this is happening, they're walking through and everybody's free, and we get to see a father and daughter segment right here.
Mm-hmm. Arrow. Yeah, well, before that, we get the team splits up again.
Oh, once again.
And
there's a lot of split ups in this episode.
Yeah, you get William's mother, which I don't ever remember her name.
I don't either.
Then Felicity, Mr. Terrific, and Speedy.
And Diggle.
All have to go back, and Diggle. All are sent back to the plane to head back to the mainland.
Right.
And he sends Merlin with them.
Right.
With them to drop them off and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because Because Ollie says straight up, I can't fight at my full strength if I'm worried about you guys.
Right. And they believe him and they go...
Yeah, none of them have their gear anyway.
Oh, by the way, we got a little kissing from Felicity and Arrow. Now, this was romantic, but it didn't seem like...
The last couple weeks, they've been kind of teasing this, but it doesn't feel forced this time.
Exactly. And that's why I've been okay with it, because I didn't feel like, oh, let's make them a couple.
Yeah. Well, this is like, they've already been a couple, so it's so like, well...
Now they're just tension there, and that's fine. That's going to happen. That's happened in every book we've seen. If you've been a couple once, when they meet each other again, you're going to get something there. There. But then that's where she sells them, just in case, you know, we don't see each other again. I had to give you a kiss. I didn't want to live with the regret. And I wonder what that's going to set me for next season. But also, this is another touching moment where Merlin and Speedy are talking, and as they're talking, there's a click that you hear, and she steps on something, and everybody's like, why are we stopping? We're supposed to be moving forward.
He's and like, Merlin's like, she just stepped on a landmine.
She can't move right now. And he tells her, now, we can fix this.
Yeah.
I can jump on there really fast, and you guys can go. And she's like, oh, that's crazy. We're not going to do this. He's like, you know, I forgot how stubborn he were. He just pushes her, and now he's stuck there. And this is where you get the team of Captain Boomerang and the rest of the goons coming.
They catch up, and they're like, wait, why are you not moving?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I'll show you why.
Yep. And this is when Speed tells him, or he gets all touchy, and it's like, well, I never was a father to you, and, you know, like this, but you might not think of me as a father, but I am, and you're always going to be my daughter.
Yeah.
It's like, aw, you bad guy, but at least you have a nice heart. So he, we didn't know what really happens here. All we know is Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, well, everybody else is gone, and we see the Team Arrow, and then you see an explosion in the background.
Right. Now, before this explosion happened, what happened with Merlin and Captain Boomerang, he tells him that's this really stupid movie, you standing on that landmine, and he says, oh, you don't know. Let me show you.
Yeah.
So, or he doesn't even tell him a landmine. Well, he just says, it's really stupid of you to stand in the middle of the road like this. He's like, well, let me show you. Now, knowing Merlin and having the smirk, if you've watched anything from any TV show, when the guy smirks and they die off scene, they're not the ones that's actually dead. It's the other person you think that shouldn't be dead. Well, so I think you switch.
The only thing that switch is, with them. We don't know what happens to Merlin
at
or
all.
Boomerang on this.
At all.
But John Barrowman, I think this past week, there's a headline that I just saw a headline. I didn't read the story. It said he's actually done with Arrow now.
So he might not.
So that may actually be the death of Merlin.
That might be the death. He might have just. He might have held him close.
You never know.
And blew both of them up. We don't know if just one of them are dead. We have no idea.
Exactly.
Huh. Well, that was my speculation. I don't think he's dead, and they can bring him back whenever they want
to. It's comic books.
That too.
Even if you see a body, they're still not dead.
Yeah, you got that right. We got that in Jason Todd. But also, now this is where I thought Deathstroke really played his part. I didn't know what side he was on anymore.
Yeah,
like,
he did great.
He
would
have changed like three times. I'm like, whose side are you?
They get to this monastery that's on the island, which this island has got to be ginormously huge.
This whole island, I don't think I want to live on this island. I probably would die just because I fell in a deep hole and don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah, because every time it's been 5 years now, and we're still finding new stuff on this island.
Yeah, we're never going to figure out all that's on that island. But Deathstroke gets there, and he looks like he double-crosses Team Arrow, and Ollie calls him, you know, you son of a gun and everything. And then later on, he double-crosses them because he had Ollie and
Ollie was in on the whole double-cross the whole time.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, so you're not a bad guy. You're on our side still?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, jeez.
Well, you gotta think, even Deathstroke, on his season when he was a villain, it was the Mirakuru that was causing a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't really him doing. That's why I think Ollie forgave him for what happened to his mother.
Exactly.
But with Deathstroke being inside man, we also get a final outbreak of Team Prometheus versus Team Arrow. And there's a lot of different fight scenes going on at this point.
Well, the two big ones you get Nyssa versus
Talia. Because
and you
of
get
her father.
Black Canary versus Black Siren.
With the help of a father.
Yeah. Which was great because the two of them are evenly matched. So when the Sonic Scream hits Sonic Scream, everything explodes.
Yeah, and they just go back against one wall, and goes back the other wall. But you do get Black Siren pop up first.
Yeah.
And that's when
Quentin comes in out of nowhere.
And just dings her over the head. And she said, you didn't have to do that. He said, oh, no, trust me. I had to do that for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, so he basically knocks out Laurel.
And he finally gives her the mantle of Black Canary because everyone's been calling her Canary.
Yeah.
Before they all have their little fight scenes, he says, he's like, Diggle, you do this, or Spartan, you do this, Mr. Terrific,
Canary,
and he's like, no, Black Canary.
Yeah.
So she finally is now have the approval of the father and calling her this, because right now, the daughter that he knows that she looks like, that's not her. He knows his real daughter's dead, and she would want somebody to take that on and move on. Also,
then we do have flashbacks in this episode.
The flashbacks were really good. This was a good callback to what happened in season one, if you remember that body.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't know why or what happened there throughout everything that happened in these flashbacks, but it turns out it was Kovar's. And they had a very great fight scene, I thought.
Oh, yeah. The two of them went at it.
And we found out why Ali got the burns on his back.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more wounds of cuts and shots in his chest.
We do get the actual full part of the opening scene of the first episode of Arrow.
Yeah, which I thought was great. Oh, man, that was awesome. Because it literally was like playing parallels. That was probably like the best. I think the season finale was my favorite episode out of the whole this whole season five.
So far, yeah. It tied everything up in a nice neat little bow.
Mm-hmm.
It then left us a huge cliffhanger at the end of it.
Of course, just like they should. Basically, they just showed what happened in the very beginning of the pilot episode to how he got there with the wig, with the beard, him setting off the Arrow bomb to let the people know to come on shore.
Uh-huh.
They had the fish. Then he gets back on the ship, and he's calling his mother, saying, "Hey, Mom, it's me. Don't hang up
the phone." Yeah, so we get to see Moira back for just a minute.
Just a second, which they did say she was going to come back again. And this is just a very touchy moment because he finally got to get in tune with his parent, which is what's going on now when he's trying to set Prometheus. Because he did beat Prometheus on the island, but Prometheus always is one step ahead of him.
And Prometheus, remember this whole time, Prometheus' whole thing is he wants to show Ali that Ali and him are the same.
Yes.
They're both killers.
Right. And he gets to the point where he remembers how he killed Kovar by almost snapping his neck. Mm-hmm. He's like, do it. He's like, I'm not going to do it. That was the man I used to be, not who I am now. He says, oh, I was hoping it'd have to come to this. I know you're probably going to kill me now that I killed your son. He's like, you're lying.
Yeah. Prometheus tells Wally.
You can't do that.
Ollie straight up that, hey, your son's dead. He's dead. I killed him.
Yeah, and he doesn't believe him.
Yeah, and Barry Wally. Oliver,
it's all right. Hey, we had a lot of names this week.
Oliver tells him straight up, that gets right up in his face and says, dude, even if he is dead, I'm not going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. And he looks him dead in those eyes. And then, of course, he gets away, and now he's telling Diggle, well, did they know? I can't remember what happened first. Was the bomb in his chest that happened first that they knew was detonated, or was he just had to go get him before?
Well, first thing was he had sent everybody to, there's an airstrip that all brought to the island on a plane.
Right.
So everybody headed to the airstrip, but when they get to the airstrip, they find there's explosives buried all over the airstrip.
There we go. Okay.
And they find out what it is. They're all networked together, and it looks like there's
one
bombs
signal
all over the island.
But it all leads back to one
signal. And it's all
signal
set up to one detonator that no one can find.
Right.
So they figured it out that Prometheus has a dead man switch.
Yes.
If he dies, the island
whole island
goes
will
boom
blow up.
But
this is where he's trying to get Ollie to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you can't kill him. He's like, well, I didn't plan on doing it anyway. Well, he's telling everybody, well, get on the ship, or not
get on
ship,
the plane,
get on
get
the plane
here
and get out of here while I go get him. We'll
and
be
Prometheus
fine.
Prometheus is taking a boat.
Right. So Ollie's running on the boat, and I love this little callback. This is where we got the transition of when he was running to find the boat to get off the island in the first place. Mm-hmm. On the pilot, he's running to save his son now. Once he got on the boat to talk to his mother, he wanted to get on this boat to save his son so he can be the father figure. Now, he does get on the boat. He pulls his son out, and this is where Prometheus threatens Ollie. He says, now look here. I got your son by the neck. I'll snap his neck if you don't shoot me. But if you shoot me, all your friends will die. So what's it going to be, your friends or your son? And then this is where Ollie does something very clever. He pulls the arrow down, shoots him in the foot, let his son come over to him. He's like, look, I'm not going to kill you. Stop this madness.
No one on the island's
going to
die. You're not going to die. No one's dying today.
Die. Right. He's like, well, Ollie, I'm not going to lie. You really proved me wrong. You've done something really good. You've shown your son the man you really are. And that's great. You two are going to have each other. But it's really sad what's going to happen to his mother. He's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Pulls out a gun. He's like, no! Shoots himself.
Shoots himself in the head, and the entire island goes kaboom.
Yeah.
Now, he has also sabotaged that plane they went to, so they could, none of them else got
too
off the island.
Yeah, when she said, hey, Ollie, there's a problem with the ship. And he's like, what? And then Prometheus tells him, did you really think I was going to let you guys, even on my ship, the only ship there that's mine, that I hate everyone and I don't care about living, I'm going to sabotage the ship, basically.
Yeah.
Sabotage the plane so no one can get out. So there's parts laying everywhere. They can't get off the island. So when he blows it up, they should still be on that island.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
But you get plenty of time in between, so you don't know what happened. They may have...
And with all the secret landscapes
and
booby traps and
rooms. It was impressive to see all the explosions go off.
It was, but remember he did tell them follow Deathstroke to what place was it? Somewhere they can go, maybe for a safe place, or find somewhere else to get out. He said, follow Slade. He'll know where it is. They probably found a bunker or something.
But we'll find out next season. As of we know right now, Oliver's with William, and Team Arrow's done.
Yeah.
And it was the entire team. They had everybody there.
Except for Wild Dog.
No, Wild Dog was there too.
He was?
Yeah, he was in the monastery. Remember, he was in the monastery with the Black Canary.
That's right. Yeah, everyone's there. Crap.
So, we got big speculations for what happens for next year. This one only had one speculative thing going, though. Because the only open thing now is the island blew up.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happens from there?
We don't know. Nothing at all. Prometheus is gone. Mm-hmm. Molly has his son back. Now, is he going to go back to the island immediately, or is he going to be in a little state of grief and try to train his son?
I don't know.
Or will he just...
Probably try to turn back to the island right away to see if anybody survived.
I do want him to train his son, though, to be another Green Arrow.
That'd be cool, but...
I still want that.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I would like to, actually, with this Titans show coming up, I would like to see Colton Haynes decide to say okay to coming back and actually putting Arsenal on Titans.
I want him to. I really do. I think he would be a
if
big
not,
part of it.
If Thea survived this, should it'd be cool to see Speedy there.
We're going
to
get one of them. I want him in
the...
Well, that's speculating that
this is in the Arrow universe.
Yeah, they're hinting at it. I think they're hinting at it because they don't really know yet if they want to go through with it, but it's not saying we're not going to do it. It's just we don't know. So take this little bit. If so, it's just a mention, or it could be Easter egg. But leading after all that from TV, from the Green Arrow.
Yes, from Green Arrow, we actually had, like I said before, a live Green Arrow. We saw Stephen Amell actually finally run the Ninja Warrior course.
Yep.
And when you see him do the salmon ladder on the TV show,
it's not fake.
That's not faking it. He can do the salmon ladder.
Yeah,
because Nisa keeps sitting right underneath my feet.
I keep kicking her.
I'm sorry, Nisa. But no, we watched the Celebrity American Ninja Warrior, and they actually did this, since this was a fundraiser for the Red Nose Day.
Mm-hmm.
They actually set it up so that the celebrities, every challenge they actually beat, every one of the obstacles they beat, I think it was M&M's and someone else would donate $5,000 to Red Nose Day.
Yeah.
So Stephen Amell, they have six obstacles for each of the people to go through. Stephen Amell blew through all six of them, no problem, including the warped wall.
Yep. And he was like, you know what? At this point,
that's $30,000. He's like, wait a minute. We get every time we do an obstacle, we get more money donated, right?
Like I say, he was being a real hero here, guys.
So he took another step. They saved him for the last run of the day.
Oh yeah.
Because they knew everybody in the world wanted to see this guy run Ninja Warrior.
And from what we've seen, honestly, he probably had the most...
He could have actually beaten the entire course at some point, possibly.
Yeah, he was the one, if there's anybody that's going to beat it, it was going to be Stephen Amell.
He proved that he knew what he was doing. But he said he hit the buzzer and he's like, okay, well, I'm going to do one more obstacle. And they're using the city qualifier for L.A.,
mm-hmm.
which I think is the Universal Studios.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
So if you watch American Ninja Warrior now, the American version of it, the city qualifiers, they have half the course is your first stage. Second stage, anybody who makes it to second stage runs that entire first half again, plus a second half mm-hmm. on that.
Now, he didn't do the whole entire thing for the second one, but he
did. Actually, for the salmon ladder is the first obstacle. And as soon as you transfer from the salmon ladder to the next obstacle, mm-hmm. that's the next obstacle.
Oh,
so
okay.
he actually did beat the salmon ladder.
Okay.
And he jumps up, hits the salmon ladder, goes up it, no problem.
Yep, and that's what everybody was waiting for.
I've seen lots of people fail the salmon ladder.
Yeah, it's not as easy as it looks. I would like to try one day if I know where to go. It's not in my gym, so... hey, maybe I can make one.
It's not that hard. It's a couple 2x4s and plywood.
Yeah. I've got my own Green Arrow here at my house.
I can't do pull-ups, so...
I'm pretty good with pull-ups. I don't have a lot of weight on me, though.
Yeah.
I'm like 140 nothing.
But it was amazing to see him do it. I would like to see him actually run the real course as a Ninja Warrior.
Just go. I would put all my money on him. Chips on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephen Amell, real Ninja Warrior, real Green Arrow... He's a superhero, man.
Exactly. He is a real-life superhero. But before we go too much farther, I want to give a couple shout-outs real quick. We got some people that have been watching on Facebook, and some of them are some dudes from my back in the day with wrestling.
Oh.
My buddy Jeff, I know you may or may not be watching now, but Jeffy, thanks for watching, Jeff Meekins. And then a dude I know from a long time ago, Mike, the fatty daddy himself, is re-watching this. Anybody remembers the old UWC days... here in Akron. He was a great guy. I've not seen him in years, but Mike, thanks for watching.
Thank you, this is awesome. Thank everyone. Ken knows I'm thanking you.
And we got John. John is always on here trolling us. So, and we'll see him tomorrow over the Meeple Cast.
Okay.
So, but Let's move on to some. We have a little bit of cinematic. There's not, like I said, there's not a lot of news came out since we had a short week between shows.
And you want to hit the bad news first?
Yeah.
This isn't the worst news ever, guys. But
go ahead and do you have it loaded
up?
Yeah,
I figured this was going to happen. It's funny because right after we recorded our last show, this was one of the few.
But they actually had some time to figure this out.
Oh yeah, but this is one of the few movies, as I said, when we were given the list of what's coming out in the next couple of years. Things are going to change. We know that. This is DC. They've been having their hiccups, but they seem to be getting back on track.
Yeah, they're
now
throwing people at stuff real early.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're just not ready yet. We don't know. But for all the fans of the Dark Universe, for Justice League comic books, as we know, Vandy said director Doug Liam has now left projects with Warner Brothers and is choosing to go another route. So he's going to direct Liongate's Chaos Walking, which has recently received the green light. Sources say that the studio already has started meeting with other directors, so they should have replacement for Liam lined up shortly. Warner Brothers is behind this adaptation and has no comment right now. But from what fans can speculate, the Dark Universe will still have the Justice League's team member, or Dark Justice League team members of John Constantine, Swamp Thing, Deadman, Zatanna, Astrogan, the Demon, and another major role from a DC comic book cinematic universe.
Okay. So, well, this is sweet. We're actually going to get Swamp Thing on the big screen.
Yeah, I don't care in any way, shape, or form how they...
They better do his voice right, because I thought... have you seen the old Swamp Thing movies?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
In the TV show?
Yeah.
And who was it? Dirk Benedict, something like that, I think, was... He actually played Swamp Thing and used his voice.
Yeah,
they made it all gravelly. It was perfect.
Yeah, he was... Was he the only actually member they had? Yeah. Besides Adam West. Adam West was the live-action Batman and voiced the cartoon. Besides that, there wasn't any other... Anybody from DC that...
Well, I don't think he actually did a cartoon.
He didn't do a cartoon?
I thought he did. Cartoons, no.
Oh, man.
But actually, when the Swamp Thing movies came out... the first one, did you realize that, if I remember right, the first one was directed by Wes Craven?
No, I didn't
know. They were actually supposed to be horror movies to start with.
Which, out of everything in DC, Constantine, Etrigan...
This would be the horror universe,
Deadman, they're scary.
But the cool thing was, I didn't know this was a DC Comics character. I knew he had comic books, I didn't know it was DC Comics.
Well, as a kid, I just liked superheroes. At the time I was watching this with my mom, she didn't even know the difference really between a DC and a Marvel film.
Yeah.
It was just it's a superhero.
But I remember the TV series was awesome. It had almost 4 seasons.
Yes.
I have the first season on DVD.
Yeah, you're telling me about that. My mom, like I said, she never really got too big into TV shows, but now we have, well, you know, streaming devices.
Yeah.
I did catch a little bit of it. I thought it was really good, and I just love the voice work for him. So they can't really get Swamp Thing wrong. Plus, he's now in the video game. Just look at that.
There it is. Dick Durock. He played Swamp Thing in the 1980s.
And also, we have Matt Ryan. Constantine was portrayed by Matt. Constantine was played by Keanu Reeves in the 2005 film, and also Matt Ryan on the...
See, I enjoyed that movie, but I didn't know Constantine at all.
I knew about Constantine enough, but from when they were doing movies back in 2005, give me one movie back then that we were like, oh, this is going to be just like the combo character. This is going
to
be...
They were starting to get close, but when Marvel actually blew the doors open.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, DC did with Superman and Batman, but
they
weren't
always
willing to do anything else.
Superman and Batman.
They weren't willing to do anything else.
People could recite that in their sleep, even if you're not a big superhero fan. But I just can't wait to see Etrigan the Demon on a big screen, along with Deadman and Zatanna. And technically, I'm going to say this, I've been saying this to everyone that doesn't know Deadman. If you watch Patrick Swayze's Ghost, that's Deadman.
Yeah, basically.
That's the same
thing. I used to love the Justice League Unlimited episodes every once in a while when you would get Deadman on there.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's, like, going nuts, trying to tell people something he can't. He's like, you know what? Forget it. He jumps into a body. They're like, hey, wait. He's like, hey, I'm Deadman.
They're like,
wait a minute.
Who that? What?
What?
Like, when he jumped into Clark Kent, he's like, guys, man, I got something to tell. Ooh. And he just,
I like this body.
Like, what? Clark, are you okay? But, yeah, anyways, they're still working on this. And as you said, Wes Craven did make the first film.
The first film. And it was great because Wes Craven made the movie in 82, but... And it was a rubber suit monster movie.
Now, hearing Wes Craven making that movie, this is giving me a little bit of hope. Now, Del Toro is a great director.
He's not doing it anymore, though.
He's not, but
he stepped away. But the nice thing is he stepped away because he got sidetracked by other projects.
Who knows? He could be coming back.
Well, you got to think that if you look at Guillermo Del Toro, he puts his name on 900 things, and then a couple of those will come through, and the rest of it he ends up dropping.
Right. I was hoping anybody, I don't care who it is, but if you're a horror director, I really think they should make this movie. for it. Yeah. Justice League, I would personally, if I was DC or Warner Brothers, go out, find someone that loves it or even be interested in it.
I would love to see this have the horror feel.
Yeah.
But you don't need a bloody gore, gory slasher horror
exactly.
movie.
Exactly. Well, if you watch...
it has to be creepy.
I'm gonna put it out there. Hellboy. Yeah. That wasn't...
Gory. A little darker.
It was
little,
dark, but
creepier.
It wasn't like, oh, yeah. slasher.
We wanted to go a little creepier than that, but yeah.
I would take something like that from a Justice League Dark film. So that's my theory, or not my theory, that's what I would have to say. Get somebody that knows horror movies and have them do this.
But wasn't this one for 2020 when this was supposed to come out?
Yeah.
So we got time before they figured,
They've had a script for this thing in the projects for a while. Like, say, yeah. Del Toro's been thinking about this for years now.
Oh, yeah.
I
was surprised. But then again, a lot of the choices they've made on what movies they're going to make has surprised me.
Yeah. So I still didn't think they were going to make all these Batman character films either.
But the next one up is we actually got a new Harley Quinn and Batman trailer.
Yep. Very funny.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It looks really good. It looks just...
And one thing I got to say after listening to this trailer was that... what's her name? Melissa Rauch?
She sounds pretty
good. Like Harley Quinn.
Yeah. I know before I said I didn't like the way she sounded. I guess... Having a different voice, if I heard someone else voicing Batman...
And actually, wait a minute, I can actually bring it up a little bit, because this opening of the movie here, or the trailer, I'll play the beginning of the trailer real quick, because you'll be able to actually hear Melissa Rauch's Harley as soon as it starts up here. Make sure it's going to... There we go.
Okay, we got one Power Girl jumbo combo. Gonna lose that hand, Puddin'. Anything else for you today, boys?
Got it. Okay, now that it's not Tara Strong, but that's as close as you can get without it being her.
Her, yeah.
She's got the accent down. She's got the.
She has a way better
down.
Accent, I think, than Tara Strong. Her voice isn't as high pitched.
Yeah,
I feel like they would do them together. We would get the original Sorkin voice. But
yeah.
She sounds really good. Now you guys also got to remember Nightwing even.
The actor who played Nightwing is coming back from the animated series.
I said on the show previously, but I don't remember now, but it's been years since he's voiced that character. He hasn't done that for that long. He's finally come back. So
the other one that is
older.
Coming back, though, is Kevin Conroy is Batman. No, I don't care where you're at. That's like saying Mark Hamill is the Joker.
Exactly.
He doesn't play the Joker. He is the Joker. Conroy is Batman. At some point when he can't do it, it's going to be weird trying to get the transition over to someone new.
See, the thing about Mark Hamill, I have heard Troy Baker. He does really... I'm going to say if there's anybody else that I want to do a Joker, it would be Troy Baker.
Okay.
I haven't heard anybody else I would love
to
hear.
Yeah, but it's Troy Baker doing his best Mark Hamill doing Joker. Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah.
Okay,
which is fine.
You still
for me.
Need that character that Mark Hamill puts
in. And that's good for me, because I need somebody that sounds like the original. That's cool. I haven't heard anybody that sounds like Kevin Conroy. I know people were saying for the Batman Arkham Origin game, oh, he sounds like... I'm like, no.
See...
Troy Baker might sound like Joker, Mark
Hamill.
You know,
Bruce Timm and Paul Dini had something special.
There's
because
nothing like Kevin.
They are still, at this point, still making stuff in the Batman animated universe from the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is a Batman animated series movie.
I can say I'm actually dated with the character.
Yeah.
When this came out, it came out a year before I was born. So, man, this is good. But we're going to get this. We got the trailer, and we can't wait for the movie to come out. Also, we got some callbacks to Poison Ivy's.
Yeah, well, Poison Ivy is the villain in this. And the funny thing is, in this trailer, we were just talking Swamp Thing.
And the connections just
And we actually have
an
honorable mention in comics this week with Swamp Thing. It's like Harley and what was the name of the other guy? You had his name up a minute ago.
Let me
Harley and another guy that looks a little like Swamp Thing, but not quite.
He looks just like Swamp Thing, but it's not Swamp Thing. It's Floronic Man?
The Floronic Man.
Now,
and actually, he was in a movie back in the day. That was, Batman Forever that Harley was in? Or that Poison Ivy was in?
Batman and Robin.
Was it Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
Anybody who remembers John Glover's character in that, he was actually the Floronic Man.
And I did not know
that. And you
that.
Did not realize that John
I didn't
Glover
know
was
the same guy that
was
played
Lionel
in there.
Luther.
No, I
in
didn't.
Smallville.
He played so... Well, I'm not going to... Let me not diss that too much. But Smallville was just a lot better. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So I never even put two and two together. But so he's... All these little connections we're having. And do you say who's voicing Floronic Man?
No, I didn't know. Who is it?
Oh, man. This guy... To me, he signed DC Comics for life. He's been every single DC... Anything somewhere. He voiced the Joker.
Oh, okay.
Batman.
Okay.
He voiced Trigon in Teen Titans.
He's everywhere.
This one is Kevin Michael Richardson. And there's a couple of – there's many people in Hollywood that if you look at their IMDb and look at just the number of roles they have, you can see who's a voice actor and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because voice actors are 200, 300, 400 roles they've done.
Right. And this
where
guy,
regular actors will have 20 or 30.
And this guy's been literally
– everywhere.
On everything.
Yeah.
From anime to American cartoons. This guy's been there. But he's had ties to DC Comics, of course.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in so many of their movies. Like I say, he played in Red Hood. He played Trigon on the Teen Titans. And he also voiced the Joker on the Batman show. So
that's like the actors from the Star Wars TV series or cartoons are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
James Arnold Taylor is one of my favorite voice actors just because he's a cool dude in general. But he's also Ratchet and Clank. He's Ratchet. He's also... who was some of the other ones? That you just look at some of these guys' IMDb's, like, they are everybody. He's Fred Flintstone. Right now, the guy who played Obi-Wan Kenobi is Fred Flintstone.
Really?
He's the modern Fred Flintstone.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, after this, remind me, I got to show you
a show
video
me that. I'm trying to even think of their voice tone.
Show you a video.
It doesn't even sound like it would be the same.
But yeah, this looks like it's going to be a good movie. This comes out, what, midsummer? Do you have a release date for this?
Let's see. It should be right here. Give me like two...
Yeah, give them just a minute to look this up.
This comes out, 2017? February. Whoa.
Nope, not February 20th. That's when it was updated.
Yeah.
Actually, I know where to find it. Give me half a minute and let me look at Amazon. And I need some music while we search. Amazon will have it in there with a release date, probably.
You'd think it would be on IMDb. You would really think so. Huh? Okay.
Batman and Harley Quinn Blu-ray.
Drops.
Come on.
Sometime this year.
Come on.
I'm going to say fall somewhere.
No, I'm thinking that we've only got a month or so, probably, until this drops. There it is. Oh, it's $24.98 right now, so it'll be cheaper when it actually does come out.
Pre-order available.
Yeah, you can pre-order it now. Title has not been shipped yet, obviously, or it's not been released. Pre-order it. It still doesn't say when it releases.
So we don't know.
It's got to be within a month or so right now. I'm thinking it's going to probably be June.
If it's not June, I'm saying fall. Just push it back until they're completely done.
Yeah, no, they're done with it already. So, but this is, like I said, if you watch the animation and stuff in this is a Batman the Animated Series show.
Which is great. Every time I see something like this, I feel like I'm growing up with it. Like, literally, this is a part of me in my lifetime right now.
Yeah.
But that's for... the Harley Quinn and Batman film. And then last, we also have just one good thing about Wonder Woman. Or a couple good things about Wonder Woman.
Yes, we finally had the premiere of Wonder Woman. The red carpet premiere. Because it comes out, when the show drops, it comes out next Thursday is the pre-release day. We've ordered our tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, if anybody who happens to be in Northeast Ohio, Akron area, wants to come down to Regal Interstate 18 over... it's on Interstate Parkway, Regal Cinemas, Interstate 18, at 7 o'clock 3D show, and we will be there.
3D, and guys, you get those glasses. Don't forget
you get
about
the
that.
Wonder Woman glasses with it. Also, we will probably be Facebook Living afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's there who is a fan of superpowers, come hang out with us. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, we would.
And let us know that you watch us.
Yep.
Or you listen to us.
And if you've been listening to us, we know you guys are fans of Wonder Woman. So we'll see you there.
But we will be doing a live stream, Facebook Live, probably right after the show. So
right before or right
but
after.
But what happened
or
at
both.
We had some interesting meetups and stuff at the red
yeah.
carpet. Somehow our invites got lost in the mail.
Hey, maybe the Hall of, Legion of Doom took it, or you know,
it's
somebody
possible.
Else in the Hall of Justice didn't want to give them to us. They wanted
they
to
gave them
our...
the wrong address for us or something.
Or you know, we could just blame Booster Gold and Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
But Linda Carter came back. She was the original Wonder Woman. She was also on this red carpet with Gal Gadot, who's playing the current Wonder Woman right now, with Patty Jenkins. And she's, from what I've heard, done phenomenal with this film.
I would not be surprised if we saw a Linda Carter cameo in this somewhere.
Oh, I'm hoping we do. I mean, the way she was on the red carpet for obvious reasons, but if you've noticed something with DC, when they have an actor and that's played it again, they'll usually come back unless it's like Batman. The only one that really does that is Adam West. But we've seen this with Christopher Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this with Tom Welling. So I think she'll be somewhere in the movie. But after all, there's not even been a lot of criticism for this movie.
No.
This has all been positive stuff. And it seems like and of course, mine has frozen right now. But we haven't seen anything like this since the 1970s TV series before a big event for Wonder Woman like this. So it was really nice seeing everybody come back for this day. And it looks like they're all having fun. A lot of cheers, a lot of happy things going on. Chris Pine even being there.
Well, yeah, it's the premiere, so the entire cast will be there.
Oh, yeah.
But it just seemed like everybody felt like they know each other. Now, they probably, I'm sure, met each other before this movie, but seeing everybody in the Wonder Woman realm in the film come back together looks really good. That was all they had on it, really. Nothing big. They don't want any spoilers till next... In 2 weeks? Next week.
No, next week.
Next week. So,
So next week we'll have the non-spoilery review also on the show.
Until, you know, a couple days after that, probably the week after,
we're going to go nuts
and
on
we're going to... Yeah, we're going to have to. But that should get everybody some time to see it. This is going to be the premiere that we're going to see this for Thursday opening night. Global.
We've already bought our tickets.
And we'll be there, guys. So join us if you want. And if you don't actually come down, check us out on Facebook Live to see our reactions. Definitely afterwards to see if we really loved it. Well, of course, we're going to love it. We're not going to do anything else. But see our reactions.
That's right. But if you want any more information on where we're seeing it, when, or anything else, get a hold of us on either... DCSuperpowersPodcast@gmail.com, any of the social media, which we'll give you at the end of the show anyway. But basically, if you look for DC Superpowers Podcast anywhere on social media, you're going to find us. Let us know, and we'll give you the information on where we're going to be and when and all that stuff. So that's pretty much all the news and stuff. Like I said, it was very little news dropped between last episode and this episode because we're doing it so close together.
Right.
But we have some actually reviews coming up.
Yeah, we do.
Now, one, we were going to possibly do a review on Batman number 23, but really the only really super cool thing on here was
the team up.
Swamp Thing was in this one.
Yeah, and anytime Swamp Thing appears.
That's right. You know, so, and this one was done a little interesting because it's done, like, broken into different chapters, almost like it's a horror movie or something.
Yeah, and the beginning of it is a very gruesome murder, too.
Yeah. So, and it's like a noir horror book.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, just like a noir book. But
so, you go through it, you get Swamp Thing, and basically they're Swamp Thing and Batman investigating Swamp Thing's natural father's death.
And this felt like what happens in a lot of Hellblazer comic books when Swamp Thing joins.
Okay.
But this time, it's Batman instead of instead of Constantine.
Yeah. So, now, does Swamp Thing kill people in the other comic books and stuff, too?
Yeah.
So, in this one, he kills the man who killed his father.
I mean...
I don't read Swamp Thing, so
I haven't read any newer Swamp Thing where he's done that because he hasn't really been in anything but the Constantine. But he'll kill people,
okay?
If need be,
okay. Well,
he's not opposed to. He's not Batman.
It was a good story. It was a nice
great
standalone story.
Yeah, just nice little standalone.
It's a good standalone breakup between the end of the Bane storyline and what's coming next.
Now, did you like this team up with Swamp Thing better than you did the one with him, Superman?
I think so.
It wasn't really a team up. They were more fighting. This was more of a team up.
This was more of, the two of them kind of working together. So, and then next week, or the next episode, or issue of Batman, we get more of the aftermath of what happened with Bane. But we're going back to the main storyline again after this. This was like a good palate cleanser type deal.
And it was really good. It was a... I like... If I have a filler, I would prefer a filler like this.
Yeah. So, the next one we're going to do is, this one didn't have major ramifications for the storyline,
but it's a good little callback.
Yeah,
for
a lot of nostalgic, fanboy stuff in Nightwing number 21, because it's a Nightwing and, Wally West story, which is great, because I love anything Wally West, we know this.
Right.
Wally West is my favorite character in DC
And
right
in Teen Titans, they were the first two to step out of the whole, mantle of being a Kid Flash and a Dick Grayson.
Exactly.
The other one's like, you know what, we're too old for this, really? We gotta grow up in some way and mature.
Yeah.
For the better.
Well, the it opens up Nightwing talking about in different cities, crime happens at different times. In Metropolis, it happens at high noon. Superman takes it. In Gotham, it's always at midnight. And it says here in Bloodhaven, it's right at twilight. That's when all the crime happens. Then you get him breaking up a robbery in a back alley. And he takes out the burglar or the robber. And then as he's just talking and quipping the way superheroes do.
Right.
The girl who was getting assaulted picks up the gun and turns it on
the culprit,
the criminal, and actually fires. And Nightwing's like, "Wait a minute,
this is Bloodhaven."
He tries to stop, or he tries to dive in front of the bullet to save this guy, and he's just not fast enough.
But who is fast?
But someone is fast enough because Wally catches the bullet,
just like a speedster should.
Exactly. So then you get Wally and Dick sitting on the standing on the roof talking about how. Dick's like, it's a good thing you're actually here because I would not have been able to save this guy's life. I messed up. I didn't pay attention to where that gun was and what she was doing when I was finishing him out. I just wasn't fast enough. And Wally's like, that's what partners are for. I pick up the slack when you drop the ball.
Yep.
And when I drop the ball, you pick up the slack.
And also, about this book I really like, we just got done with the Button storyline.
Yeah,
and
that's actually going to be the last book we do.
Right, but who are the partners in there?
Exactly. So, but... Then Dick asks Wally, why are you here? Mm-hmm. Why are you not at Titan's Tower?
Yeah.
And Wally's like, it's boring there. I'm the only person that's there full time. So I'm coming here. I need a friend. So he came to hang out with Dick, and Dick's like, you know what? Let's call it early tonight and just have a guy's night out. So they go out to the bar. A couple girls hit on him and back and forth, and Wally's like, I don't know. I really can't talking to girls and stuff. I still love Linda. I can
be your wingman, but yeah, Linda still and I are my not, life, even yeah, though we're not together.
We're not together, but I still love Linda. So like, okay, well, they decide to chug their soda cola and club soda. I love that because that's a DC Comics thing, is they have soda cola.
Yeah.
It's been there since forever. But they end up chugging their beverages, and then they end up going to a really bad movie, a pirate movie, which is great because Pirates of the Caribbean opens this
just
week.
Just recently came out.
And they're talking about a really bad pirate movie they just saw, and it says, man, where is Johnny Depp when you need him?
Help us, please. All the good pirate movies have been out so far.
But as they're doing that, someone screams, and then everybody looks. They're all missing something. A girl's missing her purse. A guy lost his engagement ring. Another guy lost his phone.
And Wally's going on the fridge,
Wally
too.
Actually lost his wallet, and Dick lost his wristband or his watch. Now, wait a minute. Wally, the fastest man alive,
yeah,
and finds his wallet is missing out of nowhere.
Yeah.
How did this happen? But Wally senses there's a problem here because something in the Speed Force didn't
tingling.
Feel right.
It's like, I'm getting
I've never heard of this, but that's the way it is. He's tingling, and all of a sudden what it is he said it feels like time skipped a beat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see if there's any other references, because there's references all throughout this thing to the classic history of Wally and Dick together.
I'll say a lot of their thought bubbles, too, is
yeah.
Just going back there.
So, but they find out, then Wally's like, wait a minute, he can pick up a trail of where this... It seems time. Like someone's skipping through time. Instead of actually... it's not a speedster.
No.
It's someone that's like skipping across the edge of time. So,
this also reminded me a little bit of something I thought Clock King would do.
Possibly. But, one of the first references in here is when the girls are hitting on Wally and Dick. And they're talking about how they introduce the, hey, I'm Dick, I'm Wally. And the girls are like, how old school? What do you guys do? Time
that's
travel
right.
here from the 1950s?
Yeah, because who has those names anymore?
Yeah. So the two of them are going through town looking for this guy, and they find, oh, there's a street fair going on. And Wally tells Dick straight up, wait a minute. We went to a dive bar in a really bad movie when there's a street fair going on. We could have been over here hanging out and eating fried food. But as they're standing up above it, all of a sudden they see, wait a minute. There's this guy sitting on top of a
roof
on a rafter or on the edge of a building, and this field forms around everybody, and it seems like everybody inside that field paused.
Stop.
He jumps down and starts looting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they find out somehow this guy is stopping time and then stealing everything and then restarting time after that.
Making it like, yeah, it's nothing happening.
Exactly.
But I have your stuff now.
Well, the guy's walking down a train platform, and they finally catch up to him. And they're talking about how, wait, what are you doing? And he calls himself Time Bomb.
Okay. Like I said, new name for Clock King.
Yeah. Well, Dick goes to start trying to fight this guy, and every time he swings or punches, the guy's out of his way. And he's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? How come I can't catch him? And what it is the guy keeps stopping time and move to the other side. And then Wally's like, well, I'm faster than anybody else, and he tries, and same thing. He keeps moving, and the guy keeps moving out of the way. So finally, he hits Wally and knocks him off the train, off towards the train tracks, and hits pause in time. So Wally's just kind of hanging there,
mm-hmm.
pause in time. He doesn't know it.
Everything else around him is still going to be moving.
Dick is up on the roof at this point because he was recovering, and then sees this and says, wait a minute, there's a train coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Wally's hanging right above the tracks.
And that means Wally can't move right now. He's supposed to be a fastest man alive.
Exactly. So Dick, out of nowhere, last minute, decides, you know what? If I die, because the field's small right now, if I dive and knock him out of the field, I'll survive. Mm-hmm. Or he'll survive.
He'll survive.
Well, when he does, Wally hits the tracks.
And immediately
grabs and pulls Dick out of it. So the train goes by. Time Bomb thinks, yes, I destroyed them both. Because Nightwing jumped in the way of the train as Flash was sitting there.
And I was thinking, this also was another thing I thought about Batman and the Flash. Batman used his head a lot more, so it's like, wait a minute, I'm not fast enough to do this. Flash is fast enough. If he can get out, then I'm okay.
Yeah.
Same thing happened here.
Pretty much. But, And then, out of nowhere, after the train goes by, Nightwing catches Time Bomb by surprise.
Taps him on the shoulder.
As soon as he turns around, he knocks him out.
Mm-hmm. And tells him the line. Tell him the line, he said.
Yeah, he says, "Time out, Time Bomb."
And this is where Wally's like, "You know what? Leave the one-liners to me, Dick.
Yeah.
Don't do those. I'm the funny comedy relief guy, not you."
But they find out what it is this is the guy's using alien tech that was... I got to go back a couple pages to where they explained it. He's using alien tech that was brought to the city a couple of weeks ago, they said. That showed up in the city a couple of weeks ago. Let me see here. Where is it? I don't remember where they talked about it, but it's... There. The design of the harness, it looks familiar. It looks like the alien tech that the second hand leaked into the city earlier. So this had been coming into Bloodhaven for a little while now. And I don't know how this guy got a hold of the tech.
Yeah.
But after they catch him, they take him and drop him off at the police station. Then you get Whales End Harbor in this giant yacht. And this guy is talking to his boss. And he's talking about how the word got out. There's word that the missing time freeze gizmo fell in the hands of some punk named Kevin that Nightwing brought him in. The Torp was calling himself Time Bomb. And they're booking him as they speak. I'll make sure that he doesn't talk. What are we going to do about the bird? Then this guy says, Nightwing should be taught to stick to the friendly skies. Instead of diving into hostile waters, Bloodhaven belongs to Tiger Shark. Looks like that's who we're going to get in the next couple issues.
I'm pretty sure now.
And we get Blockbuster next. So there was a lot of, if you read through a lot of the bubbles and a lot of them talking back and forth, there was a lot of references back to old school Titans. Yeah. So,
Makes me want to pull out my old books from upstairs.
Huh?
So that makes me want to pull my books from upstairs to see them interacting again.
Well, the next one we're going to do, I think I'm going to let you do, because I don't have the actual copy of it here. I can bring it up on my phone, but,
Now, which one?
We're actually doing Titans next.
Yeah,
let's do Teen Titans. What is that? Teen Titans number 8?
Teen Titans is number 8.
And this is actually the Lazarus contract part 2.
Yes, now, as we mentioned before earlier on the last one.
This is
now,
Teen Titans number 8. You got the wrong
one. Yeah, and I was going to say, I got the wrong one.
You did that wrong. I'll put it up.
Thank you. Correct me. But the Teen Titans, you see, this is going to be more of a Wally West story. And this isn't the Wally West that we just got done talking about. This is the new one that popped up in the new 52. Wallace. I don't know why. It feels like he's more of a Wallace. He's not a Wally yet. This is going on all his doubts in his mind of Barry lying to him about his father, lying to him about him being the Flash, and now he just found out there's another Wally that no one told him about.
And everybody keeps lying to this kid.
Yeah. Now, previously that happened in this book, how many hours ago was this before everything went down? This happened in San Francisco yesterday. He was running through town, and he saw this guy working on his car, and he looked like he was having some problems. So this guy turns out to be Deathstroke, Slade Wilson.
Yes.
Got the eye patch, looking all friendly, and after he helps him with his car, he says, "You know what, how about I go get you a bite to eat, kid?" And, you know, the speech has always got to eat. They got high metabolism.
Well, the cool thing in this is Wally's actually a gearhead, so he's helping Slade when his car was broke down.
Perfect, and I'm pretty sure Deathstroke knew he was a gearhead.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, if you look at Wally West in the Flash TV series,
yes,
he's a gearhead.
Yeah.
He's an engineering student, but he's a gearhead.
Yeah, he mixed both the Wally West we had previously in the comic books and the new one together for the show. Made it a lot easier, too. But then now 6 hours ago, they're at Titans Tower and everybody's in their training room working out, getting their bodies right so they can keep crime fighting. But this is where, Damian Wayne comes in and says something's not right. Our kid Flash is missing and the Titans Flash is missing too.
Yeah, he knows that both Flashes are missing at the moment.
He says, I'm trying to track them down. I'm looking for everybody in this room and wait a minute, he's still here. Why is there a tracking device on me? Father must have did this.
the thing is, everybody realizes, wait a minute. How do you know the kid Flash is missing?
Right.
And find out he has trackers on everybody.
I mean, it's Damian. They're going to find out, like, out of anybody, I think, in the Batman mythos that has the paranoia of Batman is going to be Damian Wayne. He's always coming from another room. Oh, yeah. So he picks this off his neck, and he says, we got to get there because Kid Flash may already be dead.
Yeah.
So now we're in the...
I think at this point, now Damian, I think, figured out who it is that has him.
Yeah.
Because there's only one other person that could have taken this tracker off
of him.
Well, now that the location unknown, we still have no idea where this really is. But this is where we get to see Wallace West, the Flash. Oh, man.
Both Wallies are in there.
You get to see the Flash Wally, and Kid Flash Wally.
Kid Flash is in the Speed Force trap.
Right. Both of them are in the Speed Force trap.
Well, no, Wally's separate. The Flash is separate right now. If you look, he's not in it.
Oh, no, he's just got the collar on. And he's trying to tell him, now look, Wally, I don't have a lot of time to explain. I'm sorry, no one ever told you about me, but listen, do not listen to Deathstroke. He's a very dangerous man. And before he can finish, Deathstroke shocks him and says, oh, don't worry, I didn't kill him, but it is going to put him in a pretty good sleep for right now.
Yeah.
And then this is Wally's asking Slade, what are you going to do to me? What you want with me? He says, all I want is my time that has been broken to be fixed.
And you can help me do this.
Mm-hmm. And then he said, like, what am I going to do? I don't even know really how to use my own powers like this. And then this is when Slade tells him, I can show you. I want to show you what happened to my son.
I can show you the world. Oh, wait.
I can show you the world. But Deathstroke said, basically trying to bribe another teenager. Basically what he did with Terra, you just got done talking about in Jew's contract.
Yeah.
He's a liar. He will use you to any method he can, long as you're going to help him.
Exactly.
So he says, I just want you to help me find my son. Now, they go back to Titan Tower in Manhattan. None of the Titans can find them. They've looked over every security feed again, and nothing's popping up. But Omen tells everybody, I know Dick knows something that he's not telling us.
Yeah.
And as they are looking on the monitor, there is one brief picture that pops up, and it is Slade's face.
Exactly.
Deathstroke. And they says, Dick, you want to tell us the truth? How is he here? Why does he know all this? And then this is where they get another clip of the Titans with Damian on the camera saying, we need to be on the roof right now.
Mm-hmm.
We get this epic splash page of the Titans and the Teen Titans meet each other, finally. And he tell him, Grayson, you've got a lot to explain to everyone. My father keeps tab on all of us, even you. I know you put a camera in your breastplate. And I pulled the footage from there, and I know that you were talking to Deathstroke and making a deal with him. And this is where everybody's like, wait a minute. He wouldn't do that to us. So the Titans are now fighting the Teen Titans, and the Teen Titans are back.
Well, they're about to go to blows.
Or about to. They start getting into it, and then this is where Dick says, I got to be a team leader. I got to take my stride on this. He's right. Robin's telling the truth. I did make a deal with Deathstroke. And they're like, why would you make a deal with that mercenary? He's a villain. And he says, just give me time, and I'll tell you all, but I have a reason for my actions. Now we go back to Parts Unknown, and this is where... Now, Slade's wearing this suit and this glove, and it's the suit's made out of a gravity stealth field, so he's allowing a speedster that can touch him. Since they can step back in time, they can see the things that happen. He's showing him Rose's daughter, the second Ravager. She's hurt in the hospital. Joseph, his son, is in like a mental asylum, and then Grant, his other son, he's dead. He's saying, all this was because of me and my mistakes as a villain, and I should have been a better father, and I want to fix all this, and I've caused a lot of death in my time as being a villain. So if you help me bring back my kids, I would have never killed all these people. I would never cause the Titans this destruction. My son would still be here. So, Wally, can you please help me? I know out of all you, you understand that. And he said, I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, don't worry, kid. You already did. I don't know if he has needed some permission by touching him, maybe.
I think so. He did something, that? Yeah. As soon as he was holding Wally's hand, I think he stole the Speed Force.
Speed Force, yeah. And it seems like now Deathstroke has something really bad under his...
Well, we just see a little lightning around the corner from Wally, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and Wally's like, oh, no. Now we go back to New Jersey Medical Center, and they're assuming this is where Deathstroke is keeping the speedsters. And they, this is when they get off the plane, and Damian yells, Titans, together. And everybody else around him's like, can he say that? The ones on the team, on Titans, are like,
no, he just did.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And I'm loving the interactions between everybody. You got Garth, Beast Boy, and Arsenal, the two quick wit ones going at. He's like, dude, stop being a smart butt all the time. Get serious.
Yeah.
I have everybody to say that. Then you have the two psychics, Omen and Raven, telepaths going at each other. They're asking each other, do you really want to save Wally? And Omen says, I didn't think you liked Wally that much, but I guess I can sense something more to you than just him being your friend.
Yeah.
And then in the next couple of pages, you get the two Aqualads talking to each other. Now, at this point, Jackson does not know what he is. And
yeah, he doesn't know where he's from or anything else.
Atlantean, but Gar, he's looking at him like, wait a minute, you look just like Atlantean. Those got to be Atlantean markings on
yeah.
you. You're one of us. And he's like, I don't know what I am. That's why I came to Teen Titans for help. Tempest tells him, well, after all this is over, maybe I can actually help you too to get to the bottom of this, which I can't wait to see in an Aquaman comic book.
Oh, yeah, that'll be cool.
Then you got Donna Troy and Starfire saying how they're probably the strongest members on the team, and they could probably do all this by themselves, but they're going to have to step up and take charge, or we should be in charge at least. Then you get Robin and Nightwing bickering about how you shouldn't trust Deathstroke. He's very bad, and he's been a villain. He's killed people. And then Dick tells Damian, well, we did the same thing with you. You weren't trustworthy. He's like, well, that's different.
Yeah.
And then they get to see something. They're like, wait a minute. Somebody's on the ground. That's Wally. They wake Wally up. And I thought it was kind of funny. Damian says, can I slap him to wake him up? I feel a lot better if I slap him to wake him up.
Yeah.
And he gets up, and he's like, wait a minute, guys. We got to find Wally. Wally's in trouble. And he's like, what's going on? I have no time. Just find Wally.
Before, now, this was again, Flash Wally, not Kid Flash Wally that they found.
So many Wallys. I'm getting a little mixed up here. Mm-hmm. Flash Wally wakes up, and he's like, we got to find Kid Flash before Slate. And once again, before he can finish his words, they get electrocuted again, and he says, oh, I beg to differ. There is nothing but time, because he has all the time in the world, and Deathstroke now looks like he's absorbed the Speed Force, and Wally, Kid Wally is on the ground saying, exactly. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
This page looks like a Deathstroke version of the Flash.
Yeah, he's got like electric sword and everything, but you don't want Deathstroke with the Speed Force. That's very bad. So
that's the end of Titans number 8. We got two more issues to go until the end of the Lazarus contract.
Mm-hmm. What's next? Is that
next is Deathstroke.
Okay.
It's Deathstroke number, I don't remember off the top of my head. I have it coming in this week.
Okay.
And then we get Titans Annual number 1, which we're talking about this week in our pull list. But the next one is actually part 4 and the last part of the Button storyline.
Which has been an epic
story. This has been great. This is one that actually advances the
Rebirth
story.
Yeah.
And when we last left our heroes, you had Flash and
Batman
chasing Eobard Thawne through the Speed Force.
Yep, on their Speed Force treadmill. And he's trying to tell Thawne, if you keep running like this, you are going to die. We just literally seen your death.
Exactly. We know what happens when you jump out of the Speed Force right here.
Mm-hmm. He says, you guys don't understand. They've never met nobody like me. I'll never die. I have this button, and I know what I'm going to do with it. And they're trying to stop him, but it's just
he says he knows whose button this is.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to show
And as
them.
They do, this blue lightning streak blasts right between them.
Mm-hmm. And he says, if you keep going like that, you're not going to end up anywhere good. He says, oh, don't worry, Barry. Maybe when I come back, I'll actually make you my son.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe I'll go back in time, and then when your mom dies, I'll become a social worker or something and take you in so you can be my son.
I was like, oh, boy, you're just throwing it into him. But Thawne is, of course, not going to listen. He's going to leave. And
they're doing this, though, the treadmill that Flash and Batman are riding on is starting to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. It's beginning to be a little too late. But then this is where... So they get separated, and Reverse Flash gets to where I guess we finally saw him when he was in the cave and got zapped wherever he was. He says, I have arrived. And he looks up into the sky, and he's like, uh-oh, maybe I made a mistake by coming here.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. Oh, my God, no. I didn't want you to show yourself. And he was begging before, like, come at me. Show me yourself. I'm ready all this.
Yeah, and then he gets zapped and basically ultra-aged to Barry's basically bone and suit, and that's it.
Just like we saw in the part 1 of the Button in the Batcave. Half his skeleton's there, half his body's there, suit's burnt off, and God.
At the same time, Barry and Batman are kind of floating in the Speed Force now.
And they hear
They can't figure out what's going on.
But they heard a scream. That Thawne
Thawne's missing. And then this weird voice says, Barry, I'm right here.
Yeah, and he's like, listen, you hear that, Barry?
And it's not coming from anybody specific.
No, and Batman's telling him, you hear that voice? Grab onto it. Don't run away from that. It might be something to get us out. And the voice is saying, I'm right here. My name is Jay. And Barry's like, who the heck is Jay? And at last... Here comes Jay Garrick.
Like an explosion. You see Jay Garrick say, I'm free!
Now, guys, all this is happening in Speed Force, so it's kind of hard to exactly describe what's going on, but it's a bunch of lightning bolts and a bunch of tunnels.
Yeah. But he grabs Flash and Batman, and they go flying through the Speed Force.
He tells them to hang on.
He says, hang on, there's power enough to get you home. And they come flying out of the Speed Force and land in the cave, right at the point where they had left.
Yeah, right in the back cave, right where Eobard Thawne's dead body is, and that's where everything took place in the very beginning. And he says, "Who are you? Are you the guy that killed Thaw?" And he's like, "No, Barry, I didn't kill anyone. My name's Jake Gear."
The next couple things that happen in here, if you read Rebirth, it's very similar.
Very, very similar.
To when we got Wally back.
The opposite of what happened with Wally. Yeah.
But he says, "My name's Jake Garrett. I'm a friend. I'm a Flash. But Barry, you have to remember me. You must remember me, just like you remember Wally." He says, "Hold on. I'm trying to remember, but I really don't know you." And he goes to grab him just like he did Wally, but the thing is, he can grab him, but if he doesn't remember him, he has no lightning rod.
Yeah, and he's trying to remember. He's like, "Well, wait a minute. What was your name? What was your name?"
Yeah.
He doesn't remember.
And
at which point, Jay gets blasts away with blue lightning.
Blue lightning. Not the Speed Force yellow lightning. Blue lightning.
Exactly.
And then he's gone, and he says, "What just happened?" And this is when Batman and Flash are trying to really get down to the nitty-gritty of what is going on here. But he said, "I know all this, me seeing my father. Wally, you seeing Jay or whatever, Thawne being dead, him picking up that button. None of this is a coincidence." Now they go to a gravesite of Bruce's parents, Thomas and Martha, because remember, in the last book, Thomas told Bruce, "Don't be Flash." Or not Don't be Flash. Don't be Batman.
We'll get to there. We'll get to that on the next page. But they're sitting in the timeline, or here, talking about what happened and how...
Bless you.
It talks about how both of them had the same tragedies happen in their childhood, but it came about in different ways to afterwards. I'm just talking about what happened between them just now. As they're leaving, it says, "We don't know. I don't understand what we just went through, Barry.
But none of it was an accident."
But it wasn't an accident.
Now, this is where Batman also says, "I can't believe any of this is by accident. If you look at the world, there's still a blue light. There's blue lightning coming from and out of our space onto the world." Now, if we all we'll get into the more of the Watchmen in a second. But now, in the last book,
the last page,
this is where
their story.
Yeah. But in the last book, this is where Thomas Wayne had told Bruce, "When you go back to your time, stop being Batman. You have a son. You have a family. Be a father to him."
Yeah.
"You don't have to be Batman. Batman's a miserable life. I know what I'm talking about, and so do you." So now at Gotham, there's a Batman or Bruce Wayne standing in Wayne Manor looking out his window, and there's the bat signal just in the sky.
And he's thinking about what his father told him.
And he's just staying there. Alfred comes up to him and says, "Sir, are you going to answer that?" No answer.
He just kind of hangs his head.
Mm-hmm. And now we get, this is definitely a Watchman.
Yeah, then Alfred's like, "Sir?" And then we find the button just kind of hanging out on the ground with stars all around it.
And then it starts.
Then it gets a little lighter.
Blue light coming.
Then there's a little bit more blue light above it. Then you see a blue hand pick up the bloody button.
You know who this is now. And now this is a monologue, I think, from Dr. Manhattan saying, "Why does my perception of time distort you? Everything
or distress you, yeah.
Or distress you. Everything is
preordained
even my responsibilities. We're all puppets of leisure. I'm just a
puppet." Lori. Now, is Lori his wife?
Oh, crap. That's right. Lori was his wife that died, I think, and they thought they gave her.
Yeah, it says, "We're all puppets, Lori.
And I'm just a puppet that can see the strings." So he knows he's not exactly a god, but he has power like a god.
But then we get an epilogue.
Yes, and then this is
where
the
button... And you see the button flying through space.
Yep.
And a blank panel. A little bit closer on the button, a blank panel.
And more blood on the button.
A little bit closer on the button, a blank panel. Then zoom right into the button into some of the blood.
Right.
And then you zoom in, you see just the red with a little bit of yellow. Then it go all red. Then you start to zoom back out. You see red with yellow around it. Red with yellow around it again. And then you get eventually come out, it's Superman's S on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a quote from... August Strindberg, is that a character from the Watchmen?
You know, I do not know. Let me
the quote says, "There are poisons that blind you and poisons that open your eyes." And then the next page says, "Doomsday Clock, coming in November of 2017, is the continuation of this story." Now, it's going to be like this year, where they're going to give you little bits and pieces over the time. But, We'll see here.
He's a playwright, real novelist.
Oh, playwright, okay.
And poet, so.
So we're going to get little bits and pieces, but November's going to be the actual next continuation of this story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I wondered was, we saw in Detective Comics last week, Batman mentions how Tim Drake is still alive.
Right.
We thought we were going to hear about it in these books.
Can I see your cover for a second?
Yeah, my cover has a little bit. It just says Robin underneath. The lenticular cover of this, you can see it looks like a classic Flash Comics cover from the 40s, where they would list the different heroes that are in the book, and the bottom picture on it says Red Robin. But he's not in the book anywhere.
No, not nowhere to be.
So where does Batman find out about Dick Tim being alive? We'll find out.
He might be the reason why he goes back to being Batman if he's having these doubts.
Quite possibly.
So,
but that's the books we had for review for this week.
Yep.
So we've really only got one thing left.
For more books.
That's right. And that means that sound can only mean one thing. We have our comic shop pull list for May 31st, 2017. Now, this week, as every week, the comic shop pull list is brought to you by the Shazbots. Check them out on Facebook and iTunes, and also go over to Shazbots.com. Let them know that the DC Superpowers podcast sent you. Now, we've only got four titles for next week.
Yeah, we don't have a lot, but they're going to mean a lot.
Well, it's the magical fifth week of the month, like mm-hmm. we have every so often, so it's annual time again.
That came around really quick. Yeah. We just feel like we just got done with our first annual.
The fifth Wednesday of the month. Well, there is one regular title that's coming up first.
Yes.
So
this is a regular book that's was long for everything else we usually get.
Yeah. So actually, I'll start with this one, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay.
We have The Flash number 23, Running Scared Prelude. Barry Allen is at a crossroads. He's lied to the woman he loves about his life as The Flash, and a rift is growing between him and his heroic young partner. Which we've seen in the last couple issues with even with Teen Titans we just saw with Wally. Now his greatest enemy has threatened to strike down everyone close to him. It's time to make a tough choice that will launch the Flash into his most incredible mission yet. A siege of the 25th century stronghold of Eobard Thawn. Now, on the cover, you see he's actually standing there with Hal Jordan.
They're both.
Now, they never mentioned him in this, but yeah, it looks like
Green Lantern.
This is going to be Hal helping out Barry in this one.
Yeah, but we remember how good of a friendship they have.
Yeah.
Hal and Barry were like two peas in a pod at one point.
Well, the art is done by Carmine D. Giannomenico, and it's written by Joshua Williamson.
And next on our list, guys, we have our first annual for our pool list. This is Teen Titans Annual Lazarus Contract.
This is the fourth issue of the Lazarus Contract. This is the final issue of it.
The Lazarus Contract finale, the conclusion of our epic crossover is here, the conquest of which will be felt for years to come. What does the future hold for the Teen Titans teams after the game-changing run-in with their greatest enemy? Find out. Here's where they set the stage for the next era of Titans, Teen Titans, and Deathstroke. Art done by Paul Pilater and written by Christopher Priest, Benjamin Percy, and Dan Abnett.
Cool.
And this is going to be a 48-page count.
Wow. Well, the annuals are usually a little bit bigger.
So this is going to end off on a really good thing. This is definitely going to feel like Judas contract with all this reading material.
Yeah. Well, also, the annuals cost a little more. They're like $5 each. But it's nice that there's only three annuals coming out this time.
Right.
The next one up, we get Trinity Annual number 1. You don't betray Ra's al Ghul and legendary sorceress Cersei and just walk away. That's what Lex Luthor is about to learn the hard way. Now he has to unite with his former Justice League teammates if he wants to stay alive. Meanwhile, the Trinity fear this ordeal will push Lex Luthor back to the dark side. Art is done by Gillum March and written by Rob Williams.
Cool. Now, this might push him over to the edge and might get the true Lex Luthor again, but do you think they're going to do that yet?
I don't know. I don't know if we've ever lost the true Lex Luthor.
That's another good point.
That's been a question the whole time.
Since the whole Action Comics, we saw him doing this in the Rebirth. We didn't trust him.
Yeah.
I still didn't trust him.
Well, that's just, he's Lex Luthor. We got the same problem that Superman has, that you just don't trust Lex Luthor.
You don't trust the Luthor. But the last one on our list is the last annual. It's Wonder Woman Annual number 1. The world amazing Amazon expands a collection of short stories and takes Wonder Woman around the globe. Days after Year One, Diana comes face to face with Superman, Batman for the first time, as illustrated by Year One artist Nicholas Scott. And years later, Liam Sharp brings us a story of how their friendship has evolved. Art done by Nicholas Scott, various artists, Liam Sharp, and written by various artists and Greg Rucka. So this seems like this is going to be more of just a feel-good book.
Yeah.
Just showing how they all became friends, which is going to be great.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. This is a good one for...
I think you should read this before Trinity.
You read this one right before you go to see Wonder Woman.
And that, too.
You got to remember, this one drops The day before Wonder Woman.
Combo gate day, guys, is the day before Wonder Woman. So get all your combos.
So this is a great book to warm you up for Wonder Woman.
And then go see the movie.
Also, talking about the movie a little bit, I bought my tickets on Fandango.
Okay, I did too.
And it's nice when you hit the wrong sound.
a little early.
Yeah. But no, I bought my tickets on Fandango.
Okay.
Which was cool because you get three books, digital comics. You get a code for three digital comics if you buy your tickets on Fandango early.
Okay, which we did.
So, yeah, and I did, and it's...
And here it is.
Oh, good. As I throw my phone across the room.
And as I'm bringing up mine.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the books were.
I'm trying to punch them up, but right now I'm not having any luck right here.
Well, there were three Wonder Woman books, obviously.
Free digital bundle.
Do you see what books they are?
If my internet loads up fast enough.
There we go. Because I already have them on here. It was Wonder Woman number one from Rebirth. The Legend of Wonder Woman number one, I believe. Yeah, Legend of Wonder Woman number one. And then Wonder Woman number one from the pre-New 52 run.
Okay.
So you get three books digital books just for buying your tickets from Fandango. So that's a pretty good deal.
There we go. I'm going to have to do this tonight.
Yes. So, Super Friends, a couple things to remind you. Go over to iTunes, like I said. Leave us a rating review. Let us know what you think of us. Let everybody else know what you think of the show. How are we doing? You can send us a message at any of our contact information, which Vern will give you here in a minute. Let us, if you want to actually join us to see Wonder Woman this weekend in Akron, Ohio.
Yep.
Or next weekend.
Yep. And
we'll give you all the information.
We might just pop and see you guys there anyway because we just know your faces. I'm pretty sure we're going to see a lot of people we know there.
So, then what else were we... Oh, the other one is we're wondering where's the best place to watch the video of us.
Yes.
Should we stay on Facebook Live? Should we move it to Twitter or Instagram, or maybe even go to YouTube or Twitch?
Something.
Something like that.
Yeah. We're just trying to get our name more out there. As I said, guys, help make us famous, and also with those reviews on iTunes will help too. But seeing our lovely faces every week will help us. Getting to talk to everybody that has the same common interest that we do. We want everybody to just hear everyone's thoughts and see if we all agree on the same thing.
Exactly.
If not, let us know. Talk to us. Conversate with us. We're here for you guys.
Exactly. So, Vernon, speaking of that, why don't you let everybody know how they can actually get a hold of us?
For our Twitter, guys, it's @SuperpowersDC. For our Instagram and Facebook, DC Superpowers Podcast. And also, you can contact me on my personal information and social media. Instagram, I'm Hollin' at Wolf. Twitter, Viello, and Vern McWayne Moore on Facebook.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter as GW1Ken. Facebook, I'm Ken Rose. You can also find the show on the networks of Tangentbound Network at tangentboundnetwork.com and the Weeby Geeks Network at weebygeekspc.com. Now, both of those have all kinds of great other great shows. So if you want to, some of the shows are like us, some are different. I mean, all of our family and friends shows are on the networks there.
Yep.
Shows like Geek Watch 1, the mothership of all of these shows, Tales from the Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We have Wookiee Radios over on Weeby Geeks. There's a bunch of great shows on there. Our sister show, Mighty Marvel Geeks, is on there.
Yes.
So check them out. Give them all a little bit of love.
And also, I have one more mention. I put out some pictures on our social media about the new thing coming from DC.
Yes. Oh, the
DC
new...
Looney Tunes.
Yes.
Check out these covers, guys. I got some variant covers I showed you, which I think are awesome. Collect those if you are a collector of the variants. These you cannot pass up. They're just amazing art. Also, the regular covers are out there for you to take a look for. We're getting Jonah Hex. We're getting Marvin the Martian. We're getting Martian Manhunter back. We're getting Tasmania Devil. So many characters that you guys know from Warner Bros. And DC in one book. Go out and buy it. Check it out.
Okay, and with that, Vernon, I want to say thank you for another great show, my friend.
Always.
And I will see you next time.
Yes.
And Super Friends, we'll see you next time.